KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Hello, fans, and welcome out to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's Jacob Green here, the voice of the Redding Colt 45s, out here at Tiger Field, wonderful Redding, California. The Rose City Rosebuds out of Portland, Oregon, taking on your Redding Colt 45s. Jacob Green joined here by my dad, Michael Green, for a special Friday night edition, Saturday night edition of Colt 45s baseball after we're halfway through this four-game weekend series between the Colt 45s and the Rose City Rosebuds. You got a feeling about going on air tonight for the first time?
Well, it's something I've always dreamed of, just like you, and it's an honor to be here with you and to follow your lead to make sure we do this right and be the eyes for the fans on the radio.
And at this point, both of us are just little kids living out there their dreams here between the Colt 45s and the Rose City Rosebuds. Keep getting them mixed up with the Santa Rosa Rosebuds, who was a team we played last year. For the Rosebuds, they'll be sending Mitch Toma out to the mound, who is last night's center fielder and was also the starting center fielder on Thursday night. The Colt 45s come into this game. They're 20-2 on the season. A couple of losses against the Fresno Athletics down on the road. And then they lost one last weekend against the Alameda Anchors. For the Rose City Rosebuds, Cole Winston will be leading off and playing left field. Then Armand Lettier will be in right, batting second. Connor Hale at shortstop, and Sam Bayless at the cleanup spot. At third base, that left side of the infield, staying consistent through this weekend series. Gio Alvalar will be back behind the plate, batting fifth, followed by Kirk Mazarowski, the DH, and then Astra Fahey at first base, followed by Cesar Rodriguez in left, and Skyler Shinahara back at second base. Winston in left, Lettier in right, Hale at short, Bayless, the third baseman, Alvalar, the catcher, followed by Mazarowski, the DH, Rafahi at first, Rodriguez at left, and Shinahara at second base, batting ninth for Mitch Toma for the Rose City Rosebuds. Again, the Colt 45s facing off against the ball club out of Portland, Oregon, searching for the first win of the series here as the Colt 45s lineup is being announced. Wyatt Green will be facing off against this Rosebuds lineup. He's 1-0 on the year. He has not allowed a run yet. In 9 innings pitch, he's got 18 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 3 hits. That win came against MDO back on June 20th in a 16-2 contest. The Colt 45s won. He went 4 innings and struck out 7. And then last weekend, started against the Alameda Anchors in a game that the Colt 45s would come back and win by a score of 7-6. Green went 5 innings, allowed 2 unearned runs. And Uncle Charlie, we're going to stand for tonight's national anthem performed by Scott Lewis.
Whose God's truth that rides
That was Scott Lewis with tonight's beautiful rendition of our nation's anthem here on this July 5th Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball, the third game of a four-game set against the Rose City Rosebuds. And Jacob Green here with KCNR Shasta Redding, joined by my dad, Michael Green, with Wyatt Green out there on the hill. Not related to us at all. He dropped the E for his last name, missing the letter. For the Colt 45s, Colby Raphael will be leading off and playing center field. Mark Anthony Carroll at second base, batting second, followed by Andrew Mora, who's leading the team with 25 RBIs on the year. Then John Handy in the cleanup spot. He's the DH tonight, getting a night off from doing the catching. He hit a home run last night. Both Handy and DeCagno with a dinger. Actually, Handy was the night before, I believe. My memory is correct. And then Sam Marr will be at third, followed up by Brandon Zanny behind the plate doing the catching for Wyatt Green. Then Ryan Hamm at shortstop, Corey Likens in right field, and Tyler Zanizer in left field. For the Colt 45s, Tyler Zanizer with the solo shot last night. That was in the bottom of the eighth inning. That threw an exclamation point on the Colt 45s' 12-2 win ahead of the fireworks out there on the field. Raphael in center, Carroll at second base, Mora at first, Handy the DH, Marr at third, Zanny the catcher, Hamm the shortstop. Buddy, you're a boy, make a big night, and Likens in right, Zanizer in left for the Colt 45s and Wyatt Green. Looking to go for the fifth win in a row. They are currently riding a four-game winning streak after dropping that first game of the weekend series against the Alameda Anchors. Wyatt Green looking to get his second win on the season and keep these Colt 45s in the win column. Oh wait, getting ready to begin things here. We're a few minutes still out from first pitch. Bob Anderson exchanging lineup cards with Mark Hills, the Rosebuds head coach, where it's around 89 degrees at first pitch with a slight frosty blowing around from right to left field. A beautiful night for baseball out here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. And Dad, as we approach the start of this game, how excited are you to call this baseball game? Oh, we drove all the way up here to do it and see you also. And you know, we've been listening to the last 2 years on the radio, on the internet, and it's the first time we've been to the ball field. At least I've been to the ball field. It's a beautiful ball field, and it's what, 102 years old?
That's, I believe, around that. Yes.
Yeah,
I have that paperwork somewhere, but it's been around a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in the 102nd year of Tiger Field, and of course, Rick Vicente doing a great job along with the grounds crew to keep it in pristine condition. Here for the Colt 45s. And the Colt 45s are waiting to take the field here. The Colt 45s donning the yellow tops and the Rosebuds rocking their all-white uniforms again for the
second straight night. We'll be the righty Wyatt Green for the Colt 45s, and we saw the ball fly out of here last night ahead of, again, the fireworks out there on the field. There was a lot of fireworks offensively for the Colt 45s with DeCagno and Zanizer both hitting some home runs, but DeCagno's was the three-run shot that just started the snowball effect of this Colt 45's offense. They walked a total of 11 times last night, which is something that they do take advantage of pretty well. They have speed typically on the bases with Raphael, Mark Anthony Carroll, Zanizer, and a couple others. As Wyatt Green takes the mound, does a little landscaping, he'll begin his warm-up tosses. You get tonight's umpires. You know, the same umpire through the last couple of nights. We'll see if anything changes tonight.
It is the same crew. Bill Shortridge will be at third base. Jimmy Riches over at first. And then calling the balls and strikes will be Stephen Gunn, who was last night's first base umpire. So quite a blue crew here. Same one for the third night in a row. Getting done. Griffin Grizzlitz taking on the Colt 45s. There will be Winston, Lettier, and Pale due up for the Colt 45s. As we get set to begin here.
Okay.
Be the left hand hitting Cole Winston to the plate. Winston, Lettier, and Hale due up against this. Colt 45 ball club. Left hand hitter is the first pitch from the righty Wyatt Green. Right down Broadway for a called strike one. First pitch comes in at 7:16. Now Green, the righty, kicks and deals. Foul back right over our heads toward the barbecue. With the grill back there. No balls and two strikes. Sandy sets up away and misses upstairs for ball one. One ball and two strikes on the left hand hitting left fielder Cole Winston. Cole Winston last night pinch hit as this one's poked back to the screen to stay alive. Cole Winston last night grounded out 4-3 in his pinch hit at bat. Oops. Actually, pinch hitting for Mitch Toma tonight's starting pitcher. Pokes at this one and fouls it back out of play over the first base side. And the count holds it. One ball and two strikes. Green kicks and deals. Swing and a miss. Winston down on strikes, and that's the way the ball game begins. Swing and a miss.
That ball was out of the zone, but he was just trying to stay alive there, and he just missed it.
A fastball right by him. Looked like Winston was looking for something off speed and just tried to fight it off, but ended up chasing a fastball out of the zone that he couldn't catch up to. Breaking ball from Wyatt Green just misses the zone for ball one to the right end hitting Armand Lettier, who actually had a relief appearance last night. He went 5 1/3. Green misses that pitch. This is the bottom of the zone. Ball two. Now Green kicks and deals. Swing and a miss. Two balls and one strike. The 2-1 delivery from Green. Check swing on the inside corner. Called ball three.
There is a shadow over home plate, but the sun is still in effect on the pitches now.
As the sun starts to dip below the trees. And that one misses low and away for ball four. Lettier works a walk.
Lettier draws a walk.
Now it's the right-hand hitting Connor Hale.
Connor Hale.
Who had three hits last night. He had a couple of singles and a double. He's been easily the Rosebud's most consistent hitter. Grounds this one toward the shortstop. Gloves, Reyes bobbles it, and no play. Everybody's going to be safe. That is actually not Reyes over there. That's Ryan Hamm, my reflex of Adam Reyes always being at shortstop.
That ball kicked off the pitcher's mound and put a spin on it and just gobbled him up there at shortstop.
Caught the rim of the infield grass and actually looked like it might have bumped off of the arm of shortstop Hamm. Now runners at first and second. The infield shifted a couple of steps to pull. It's the first pitch to the right hand hitting Sam Bayless. After Hale reaches on the E6. And Lettier moves up to second base after working the walk. The wind blowing out toward left center now. Green peering in at Zanny as catcher. Glove tucked up by his shoulder.
Now comes Sett on the first base side of the rubber. Mora playing behind the runner at first. Swing and miss for strike one. Just waving.
It's like a changeup. He was way out in front of it.
Just looked like he threw the bat head out at it, trying to get a piece of it. Now the 0-1 from Green. The 0-2, rather, just misses outside. One ball and two strikes with one out. The Colt 45 is looking for a double play on the infield. Mark Anthony Carroll shaded up the middle, also holding the lead runner, Lettier, close at second base. 1-2 from Green. Hit in the air towards center, playable for the center fielder, Rafael, who will call off the shortstop, settle underneath it, and squeeze it for out number two.
Good communication there between the outfielders and the infielders to avoid any kind of collision. Yeah, basic
one of those,
baseball.
One of those things where the outfielders take priority over the infield, and we actually saw it, I believe it was last weekend, where there was a lot of miscommunication between the infield and outfielders of the Alameda Anchors, and the Colt 45s were able to take advantage of it a couple of times and get some free bases. The infield shifted the pole as this one's hitting the air toward right. The right fielder giving chase right toward the track. At the wall, squeezes it on the run. Corey Likens chasing that ball down out there patrolling right field, and the side is retired. The Rosebuds score none. They strand a pair. We're scoreless with the Colt 45s coming up in the bottom of the first inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45.
North Valley at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Fuels in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Michael Green on this Saturday evening edition of Colt 45's Baseball. Colby Rafael will be leading things off. He's out there patrolling center field tonight for the Colt 45's. Rafael, Carroll, and Mora do up for this Colt 45's offense. First pitch from the righty, a call, strike one, right at the bottom of the zone. Mitch Thoma, the starting center fielder the last couple of nights for the Rosebuds. Colby Rafael, the speedster. He swiped 17 bags this season, 17 for 18. He watches a ball miss in the dirt.
And the starting pitcher, he's pitching from the stretch. He doesn't wind up. So, just noticing that. Don't see that very often.
A unique thing typically with this college league as well is a lot of pitchers aren't necessarily doing their typical regimen is this pitch misses in the dirt for ball two. They're shifting around, trying different stuff, and in this case, for Mitch Thoma, he might be working from the stretch, which is a unique challenge as Rafael watches a breaking ball miss the top of the zone for ball three. The outfield also shaded way over the pole on the right-hand hitting Colby Rafael.
They're about 10 steps to the left of the 406 mark. Here's the 3-1 from the righty Toma. Just off the plate outside. And Rafael works a leadoff walk, which, per the usual, Eric Winchester, the third base coach and Simpson alum, fellow Redhawks that I sat in classes with, will probably hit that green light for Rafael. The opportunity to steal as Mark Anthony Carroll will step up to the plate. Mark Anthony Carroll on the year. Batting 333, he's got 13 RBIs. Rafael being held on by Rafai at first. Ball in the dirt, blocked by the catcher. Absolutely smothered. Great job by the catcher, Alvilar.
And Carroll stands right up on top of that plate. He's ready to hit.
Yeah, right-hand hitter. He's actually up in the box, but really close up on that plate. Rafael, two or three steps off the bag at first. 1-0 from the righty Toma. Rafael going, throw taken outside, throw down to second base. Is not in time. Rafael easily in there with a stolen base. That's
yeah.
His 18th of the year.
He had a good lead there, and could tell he was getting ready to go, but the pitcher still threw to the plate, and he easily beat that throw to second base.
It was a great job by Carroll as well to lay off that outside fastball that he could have just poked the other way and dunked it past the first baseman who was holding Rafael on. He had plenty of room on that right side. And still does now, but the infield shifted to pole on the right-hand hitting Carroll. Toma checks the runner back at second. That picks and deals the 2-0. Ground ball to the shortstop. Loves looks for Rafael back. Throws the first a bit high, but a great job by Rafai to keep his foot on the bag for the 6-3 put out. A great play by the shortstop, Connor Hale.
Now, with the grounder in front of you at second base, you don't want to make it out at third base. He just stayed at second base and then did not advance.
Now Andrew Moore to the plate, who has the team lead with 25 RBIs. Yeah, great base running as always from Rafael to not really risk anything there, especially with Mora coming up, who, again, leading the team in RBIs, he's got a runner in scoring position right here. Toma looking back to runner Rafael at second. Now delivers toward Mora, who pops this one foul out of play beyond the Colt 45's dugout. Out past the bleacher seats out there. John Handy on deck. Andrew Moore was not in the lineup last night, but then actually came in to pinch hit for DeCagno. He walked and hit a ground ball to the second baseman. Here's the 0-1 from the righty Toma as he checks for fail back at second. Kicks and deals. This is low. One ball and one strike on Andrew Moore. Breaking ball. This is upstairs for ball two. DeCagno not in the lineup tonight, which is something we find pretty surprising. DeCagno hit for the cycle. That was on Thursday night. And then last night also had a solid night at the plate with a three-run shot. Here's the 2-1 as Toma playing a bit of cat and mouse over there with a fail. Misses in the dirt for ball three. Just keeps looking. Rafael back at second base. Rafael initially starts with three or four steps off the second base bag, and then Toma looks over at him, and he takes a couple stutter steps back towards second base. DeCagno hit that three-run shot last night. He actually has two homers in two games. The 3-1 is straight in the air back of second base. Sunohara called off by the shortstop, Hale, who settles underneath it and squeezes it for out number two. Mora is retired on the pop out to Connor Hale. They'll bring up John Handy. Handy homered on Thursday night.
Now,
I believe he has four homers on the year. He's a teammate at Folsom College with Dylan Green, one of the other starters on this Colt 45's roster. The first pitch from Toma misses wide for ball one.
The defense has definitely shifted off to the third base side for a full hit.
1-0 count on Handy.
The outfield also shaded toward left. John Handy batting 378 on the year. He's got four home runs. Swing and a miss of that pitch. To even up the count at one ball and one strike. Got him to chase a fastball. One ball, one strike with two outs. Here in the scoreless bottom of the first, Rafael on second base. Toma kicks and deals the 1-1 to Handy. A breaking ball. Ground ball toward the shortstop on the backhand. Hale throw to first on a hop. Rafael not able to dig it out. It goes over his head, and Rafael will come around to score. After it escapes the clutches of Rafahi, safe at first is Handy hustling up the line, reaching on the E6, and then with the ball escaping Rafahi into foul territory, Rafael was able to come around to score. It's now 1-0.
That was a difficult ball to field. He was way in the hole, and when he threw, he was a little off balance, which caused him to bounce it to the first baseman on the in-between hop, and he was unable to catch it over there at first base.
Now Sam Marr to the plate. And yeah, that's just a tough spot to be in with the first baseman, especially when you have your shortstop in the hole with a strong arm like that, handling the ground ball on the backhand and then just throwing off your back foot with all of what you can get on the baseball and just a weird hop off the grass, which is typically where you want to bounce it to your first baseman, but Rafahi was really bending low over there at first base and ended up almost hurting his chances of getting that baseball cleanly. And now it's 1-0 instead of 3 away and being back in the dugout for the Rosebuds. So the 2-0 misses in the dirt, goes past the catcher all the way to the backstop, took a weird hop, popped up into the air, and taking second base easily is John Handy on pass ball.
That would be a wild pitch. He bounced it in front of the plate. So yeah, that's a tough one for the catcher to handle. It just scooped right over the, bounced right over top of him.
Yeah, scored a wild pitch as it, even though it passed, went off the glove of the catcher, but unable to block it with the ball in the dirt. Here's the 3-0. Just misses check swing, but Marr works a four-pitch walk, which again, last night, Sam Marr, one of many Colt 45s who was walked, who earned a walk. They walked 11 times. Speaking of walks, Brandon Vanney out of Simpson University, a fellow Redhawk, who was on the team last year. He had 21 walks last year with the Colt 45s. Here's the first pitch as the runners take their lead. Just misses outside for ball one. To the right end, hitting Zanny deep in the box and even stance. The infield shifted the pole. Toma checks the lead runner at second, the 1-0. On the outside corner, right at the belt. Great pitch there from Toma. To even up the count at one ball and one strike. Runners take their leads. Handy at second, Marr from first. The 1-1. In the dirt, smothered again by Avalar, moving to his right.
Good stop. Good stop. With two outs, the runners will be going at the crack of the bat, so a deep single could score both runners.
And we saw Zanny hit an RBI double last weekend that put the Colt 45s, I believe it was up by 3 at that point. Here's the 2-1 from Toma. This is way inside. Back to Zanny off the plate for ball 3. Now in a hitter's count, Zanny readies, digging deep in that box with that back foot. The runner at first with an even bigger lead, that's Sam Marr. The infielder's playing behind him, the 3-1, breaking ball, just off the plate outside, and Zanny works a walk that will fill the bases for Ryan Hamm.
That was a tough call there. That was close. That was a good take by the batter.
And the courtesy runner is going to be Brandon Bowler, rocking the socks up high for the Colt 45s. He'll be the courtesy runner for Brandon Zanny. Ryan Hamm to the plate, who actually started as the DH last night. He had a couple of singles. He takes a breaking ball just a bit outside for ball 1.
Wide open stance deep in the box for the right-hand hitter. Cole 45 sent 15 batters at the plate last night in the bottom of the first. Cam, huge cut and miss at this pitch.
He was trying to take that one deep.
I just went fishing for that one and came up empty. Toma gets his sign. He comes set, glove at the belt. Runners take their lead. The 1-1. Swing and a miss again for strike two. Blew another fastball by him. Just a little bit tardy on both of those pitches for Ryan Hamm.
So now he's got two strikes. He needs to widen his stance a little bit, shorten those hands.
Fight off anything close. Here's the 1-2. Off the plate outside. Chance to blow this game wide open here with all the runners breaking on any sort of contact with there being two outs. The 2-2 from Toma. Swing! And a miss. The side is retired. Ham goes down. First K of the day for Toma. The Colt 45s get one, but they strand a trio as we had two at the top of the second inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electrical tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Here in this 1-0 top of the second inning. The Colt 45s on top is going to be Mazurowski due up along with Rafahi and Rodriguez for the Rose City Rosebuds, facing off against the righty Wyatt Green. First pitch from Green, right down Broadway for a called strike one.
Nothing secret about that pitch. That was just straight down the middle.
Here's the 0-1 from Green. Breaking ball fouled down the third baseline where Bob Anderson almost made a bare-handed play right in the front of that dugout for strike two. No balls and two strikes with third baseman Marr protecting that foul line as Green misses way outside for ball one. One ball and two strikes. Kick, deal, swing, and a miss, and on the hands, and got Mazurowski to chase. He goes down swinging for out number one. The second strikeout for Wyatt Green on the day as they throw it around the horn.
He just blew that one right by him. That was pretty. Pretty like this ball field. This is a beautiful ball field.
And the ding, ding, ding. What was that? The tardy bell. It's the first pitch from Green. A breaking ball catches the bottom of the zone called strike one. A little bit more of an animated strike call from Stephen Young, which is why I like when he umpires. Another breaking ball on the bottom of the zone called strike two. Coming out of that crouch from behind home plate and gives the whole signal. We had an umpire, I believe it was last week, in that had a slow strike call. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Misses way upstairs for ball one. That was a little bit slower on the draw with it, and it was just a really subtle strike call. But Stephen Young, back behind the plate, ring him up, strike three call, dropped an off-speed pitch right on the inside corner. Back-to-back K's and a second out of the inning. Beautiful pitch from Wyatt Green right there. Now Cesar Rodriguez, the left fielder, to the plate. It's the third K of the day for Wyatt Green. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. And now a swing and a miss from Rodriguez. Chase that pitch that was way up and outside. And Green peering in at Zanny, who sets up low and in. The 0-1 misses low, keeping up the count at one ball and one strike. On the 1-1, just misses again for ball two. Two balls and one strike. The 2-1 pitch from Green bounced it in there. For ball three. Three balls and one strike with two outs here in this 1-0 top of the second inning. Fastball on the inside corner for strike two. That will fill the count at three balls and two strikes.
He thought that was a ball and almost took off out of the batter's box down to first.
Rodriguez was about to take off his shin guard. Now the umpire calling time. Make sure that Green and Rodriguez are both ready. Now Green kicks and deals the payoff pitch with two outs. Curveball, ring him up. Strike three called. Mr. Rodriguez, are you looking to buy anything? He says, no thanks, I'm just looking. And Green strikes out the side as we head to the bottom of the second inning. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is the major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Colt 45s.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green with Casey Nar, Shasta Redding, the voice of the Colt 45, is joined here tonight by my dad, Michael Green. It's great to have you with us. Lycan, Zanizer, and then the top of the order, and Rafael do up for this bottom of the second inning. The infield and outfield still shifted the pole on a lot of these Colt 45s. Corey Lycan pinch hit last night for Dylan Green in the sixth inning. He had a single and then a walk in the seventh. It's the first pitch from Toman. This is low and in for ball one to the right-hand hitter. One ball and no strikes. Toma working off that third base out of the rubber now. Delivers a ball just off the plate outside, just a tad below the knee. Two and zero to the right-hand hitting Lycans. Deep in the box and even stance for the right-hand hitter. The 2-0 swung on its grounded foul up the first baseline. Almost went fair, but riding that dirt all the way down past the first base where Rafahi picks it up in foul territory. Two balls and one strike.
That would have been cool if it would have squirted back into fair territory. Standing there watching it.
Probably would have been the easiest out of Rafahi's career with Lycans about half of a step toward
home plate as he grounds this one toward the second baseman, Sunahara. Charging gloves, throws the first, a stretch by Rafai in time. A great play by Sunahara. Charging in on it, circling around that ground ball. And Sunahara out there at second base, standing at about probably 5'6", 5'7", if I had to guess. Likens goes 4-3 on the play to bring up Tyler Zanizer. And the beauty of second base, you really have to work hard to get to that baseball. Zanizer had that solo shot last night. But for Sunahara to get to that baseball, circle around to it, and with the glove hand, throw off balance towards first, a great play by Sunahara. But also Rafahi reaching for it with a stretch down the first baseline as well.
That was a difficult ball to pick up for a first baseman, too.
It was about a 15-foot throw. Zanizer grabs this one toward the third baseman, Bayless. Gobbles it up, squirts off his shoulder. Now quick throw to first. Not picked over there at first base, but Zanizer was safe at first. And the catcher, Alvilar, backing up the play, recovers that baseball. Zanizer reaching on the E5. Bayless was moving to his left. It kicked off the infield grass with a little bit of a weird spin. And Bayless had to play it off his chest, try to make a quick snap throw to first, but it just wasn't in time.
He did everything he was supposed to do. The runner was just too fast. Couldn't get over there in time.
Both of us, former third baseman, know how hard that play is, and also how frustrating it is when you have somebody who can do that hard 90 rather quickly. Rafael watches a breaking ball miss up and in for ball one, leading back out of the way of that one. Bayless not really able to get a lot on that throw to first base either to nab Zanizer, but it's just because of the angle he was moving at. Now, Zanizer running on the plate to throw down to second base is not in time. Taking away the double play is Zanizer with the stolen base.
He got a good jump on that, and he got that one off totally off the pitcher. The catcher didn't have a chance to throw him out.
Alvilar doesn't have the strongest arm, but that throw also on a couple of hops probably didn't help. The infield shifted the pole along with the outfield, shaded toward left. Here's the 2-0-2 Rafael. Right-hand hitter hits this one in the air right at the right fielder. Now comes in on it and not tagging on the play is Zanizer. He thought about it, but the throw comes in on a hop and offline. Two outs now. Rafael lines out to Lettier.
He wisely stayed second on that one. The right fielder's got a pretty good arm there.
That's one of those plays, too, where it's shallow right center field. You can make the right fielder have to make a really good throw, but with Zanizer not being the fastest guy, he does have speed, but it's just not like Rafael has, where it's just rather quick. He's fast, but he's not quick. The first pitch to Market for the kill misses upstairs for ball one. That's where Zanizer being smart, letting Mark Anthony Carroll have a chance to hit him in with Zanizer in scoring position. Also, Andrew Mora on deck as well. He's a 1-0. Hit in the air toward left. Should be playable for the left fielder, Rodriguez, drifting back and will squeeze it on the run. The side is retired. As we head to the top of the third inning, it's 1-0 after the Colt 45s fail to score in the bottom half. They leave one. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electrical tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Winston, the leadoff hitter. The 1-2 pitch from Green misses up and away for ball two. Two balls and two strikes with Wyatt Green searching for his fifth straight strikeout. Say that 10 times fast. The 2-2. Poke that chopper up the middle, charging for it. Is the shortstop Ham throw off balance the first, not in time. Winston with the infield single.
Beer will remain regular price, but it's still just as.
That thing was just hanging up there in the air, waiting.
Remember,
just coming down.
Vitamins,
no way the shortstop could have got him on
that one. And the ever so important vitamin R.
Now one out. The runner on first. Here's the first pitch. Catch the bottom of the zone. A call. Strike one.
Infield playing at double play depth.
Just a twin killing away from being done with the inning. Quick pickoff attempt back to first. Not in time, where Andrew Mora is holding on the runner Cole Winston. The pitch from Green, snap throw back to first. No good on the back pick. After that pitch was taken for a ball.
The sun in his eyes over there, just trying to catch him. Just trying to catch him, not looking.
Now Andrew Mora doing his best to stay in the shadows. The 1-1 pitch, fouled back to the screen for strike two.
That foul ball brought to you by Falcon Freight Logistics. Specializing in overnight shipments from the valley to the coast.
One ball and two strikes with one out. Colt 45 still searching for two on the infield, a ground ball away. As Green comes set off the first base side, kicks and deals the 1-2, misses wide. Danny trying to block it, kicks away from him and taking second base easily on the pass ball. Or maybe even a wild pitch at that point, but Danny was in front of it initially, just kicked away from him.
Looks like it hit his glove and just squirted out, so it probably ruled a pass ball on the catcher.
Our angle here is a little bit difficult
to
see.
It is, yes, it is.
So it's fun to have two pairs of eyes on a play. That's why I love having color commentators. The 2-2, swing, and a miss. Another K added to the tally for Wyatt Green. That is his fifth of the night. Lettier goes down swinging.
No need for the double play now with that pitch.
Just an absolutely filthy pitch from Wyatt Green. Now the right hand hitting Connor Hale to the plate. The shortstop reached on an error his last time up. Also, Cole Winston's infield single was the first hit for the Rosebuds, so the no-hitter no longer in effect. It's the first pitch from Green. This is low. Slow getting back to that second base bag over there is Winston. Great job by Zanny. Who looked the runner back. Winston over there at second base. The infield shifted the pole. Really only Andrew Mora on that right side with the second baseman Mark Anthony Carroll shaded up the middle.
Hale
takes this one inside for ball two. Here's the 2-0 as Green checks the runner back at second. Just misses.
Just a bit inside there. Catcher talking to the umpire saying, okay, now I know where you're at.
I believe Zanny was set up inside as well on that pitch. Now a 3-0 count on Hale. Green, the glove tucked up by his shoulder, now comes set, glove at the belt, checks the runner back at second base. The 3-0 to the right-hand hitting Hale, fastball right through the heart for strike one. 3-1 to the right-hand hitter, Connor Hale. Again, Hale last night and the night before. He's been the most consistent hitter for the Rosebuds. He had 3 hits last night, a couple of singles and a double. He's capable of driving the baseball. Still in a hitter's count, the 3-1 from Green, just a bit low. Hale laying off of it to work the free pass.
That's really not a bad choice right there, because if he's one of their biggest hitters, yeah, take the bat out of his hand and with a base open.
Okay, so number 16, we got batter Sam Bayless.
Sam Bayless flew out his last time up. And, yeah, at that point as well, try and get him to chase a pitch outside the zone if you can, but laying off of that pitch, if it was called for a ball. That was also a good AB by Connor Hale to, you know, worst case scenario, strike two, and you still have another pitch in your bat. Take the free pass if you can. Bayless takes his first pitch for a ball one. Shadow's starting to cover most of the field apart from deep center and then most of right field. The 1-0 from Green popped up toward the dugout for the Rosebuds, but it's going to drift off into the crowd. Andrew Mora running out of room. Some kids got to chase down that ball and corral it.
That foul ball brought to you by Shasta's Spine Specialists, provider of sports medicine, chiropractic, and massage therapy.
Runners on first and second.
Dr. Rosebuds have left the 45
two on base thus far. Not looking to do so here. It's 1-0 in the top of the third inning with two outs. The 1-1 pitch from Green out of the stretch. Fastball right at the bottom of the zone. Called strike two. Great pitch there from Wyatt Green. Rearing back with some high octane in there. Throwing a fastball in there.
That was a statement pitch.
Now Green has a chance for his sixth K of the night. Kicks and deals the 1-2 pitch. Breaking ball in the dirt. Smothered by Zaney. Pops out from back behind the plate and looks the runners back to their respective bases. The count all evened up at 2 balls and 2 strikes. I imagine Wyatt Green is going to throw something off speed here or rear back with the fastball. His strikeout pitch so far tonight. The 2-2 pitch. A line shot over the head of Mora into right field where the right fielder Likens is going to have to play it back from foul territory. Coming around to score. We're in a tie ball game into second base with the double. Is Sam Bayless. Hale holds at third. Winston came around from second base to score easily. And now runners at second and third for Gio Alvilar, the catcher who flew out to right his last time up.
That was just a good job of hitting on that. Just knocked it the other way to right field right down the line.
Just a little inside out swing, poked it over and dunked it into right field for the two base hit.
20, Gio Alvilar.
The outfield playing straight up. Infield shifted to pull on the right end, hitting Alvilar, who takes a fastball in the outside corner. Called strike one. We're all knotted up at one ball, at one run apiece. It's an 0-1 count now on Alvilar, mixing up my numbers at this point. Here's the 0-1 with two outs. It's a breaking ball swing and a miss for strike two. Wyatt Green.
Nice wave of the bat there. Gave us a little breeze.
Wyatt Green looking like he wants to be done with this inning. A little bit frustrated that it's now knotted up at one ball. One run apiece. Oh, my goodness. Throws a breaking ball on the inside corner right at the knees. We're all knotted up at one run apiece, headed to the bottom of the third. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45. You're listening to KCNR, Chess Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. I'm Jake Green, the voice of the Reading Colt 45. It's great to have you with us. We'll be right back after this.
Y'all ready for this?
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
We'll be right back. everyone back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Michael Green, my dad, it's great to have you with us here on a wonderful Saturday night edition of 45 for Andy and Mar to up to face off against Mitch Toma. This 1-1 ball game is more attempts at breaking ball on the outside corner for a call of strike one. Mora rocking the socks up high. Stoma comes set, love at the belt. Kicks and deals the 0-1. Breaking ball right there again on the outside corner for strike two.
I'm just looking at him. He's a big dude. He's at 6'4".
6'4", first baseman with a great glove over there. Now the 0-2 pitch from Toma. This is low. Moves the count to 1-2.
If only we were 6'4", huh?
If I was 6'4", I would have not played baseball. I would have played basketball, that is for sure. The 1-2 pitch. Poked that in the air towards shallow left field. Left fielder coming in and squeezed it for the out. The left fielder, Cole Winston, the routine play for out number one. That will bring up John Handy, who reached on an error but was stranded over there at third base.
Now batting. Designated hitter, number 13, John.
If I was 6'4", I probably wouldn't have played third either. I would have been at first base, but.
Yeah, he could have been a pitcher, too.
Yeah, 60.6 feet away from the batter is a little too close. I prefer 90 feet. As Handy fouls this one toward the on-deck circle where Sam Marr is unable to make the bare-handed play. For strike one.
Ball brought to you by Tri-County's Bank.
Or if I was 6'4", I would have gone D1, but. Instead, I went NAIA. The 0-1 from Toma misses low. 1-1. Thought that fastball might have caught the knee of Handy. The 1-1 pitch from Toma is a breaking ball. Ground ball toward the third baseman. Gobbled up by Bayless. Long throw across in time. To retire Handy. Bayless over there at third base on the backhand.
Come on down, guys. We only just not
able
it, so
to get a lot on that baseball. Yeah, I was the third baseman. He had to wind up to get that over there, but he got it there in time. And Handy, not the fastest guy. He's a catcher, so.
Yeah.
Luckily for Bayless, that would have been an infield single if it was anybody else in this lineup. A great hustle by Handy, but just. That's what at the wheels. Being a catcher is Mar way to this curveball in the dirt.
Third base,
strike
46, Sam Mar.
Here's the 0-1 as Toma peers in at Alvilar. Now comes set. Kicks and deals the 0-1. Breaking ball with low. 1-1. With two outs. Shadows covering all of the field now. The 1-1 pitch in the dirt again for ball two. Zanny on deck. He walked his last time up. Sam Mar also walked his last time up before he was stranded over at second base. 2-1 to the right-hand hitting third baseman for the Colt 45s. Toma kicks and deals. Off speed just a bit low. For ball three. 3-1. Two outs in this bottom of the third inning. We're all knotted up at one run apiece. Toma kicks and deals. Breaking ball swung on grounded. Up the middle. Sunara backline the pitcher. Pitcher throws the first in time. I was trying to say that the pitcher couldn't quite make the catch to make the throw over to first base, but the side is retired. The Colt 45s go 1-2-3 after the great 4-3 play by Sunahara. As we head to the top of the fourth inning, we're all knotted up at one. Tonight's game is sponsored by Reading Out Distributing.
Get it up the end of the bat. I think it was. We'll be right back.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Don't come up here. Cruz isn't here. Cruz usually comes up. Just tell him it's for the announcer.
Go!
We're back. Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Reading, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Michael Green. It's great to have you with us here on this Saturday evening edition of Colt 45 Baseball. We have a new pitcher on in relief. It's Jesus Cerda for Colt 45s.
We have the boys.
Cerda, a right-handed pitcher. Getting a relief appearance out of Reedley College, but this year he's got four appearances. He's got a 5.14 ERA in seven innings. He struck out 11, walked two, and allowed six hits. Solid stats from Cerda. So he concludes his warm-up tosses. For Wyatt Green, he went three innings of one-run baseball. Gave up a couple of hits, struck out five.
We need on the top of the fourth inning for the Rosebuds.
Only allowed. Kept the Rosebuds hitless through two plus. Here's the first pitch from Cerda to the right end hitting Mazurowski. This is upstairs for ball one. Mazurowski, Rafahi, and Rodriguez do up for the Colt 45, the Rosebuds rather. Here in this top of the fourth inning. Now the 1-0 pitch from Cerda. This is inside and on the hands for ball two. Two balls and no strikes to the right-hand hitter, who struck out swinging his last time up. Now the 2-0 misses way inside. And it actually caught the thigh, apparently, of Mazurowski, who was bending forward to lean out of the way of the pitch, but then it came back over toward the zone and ended up basically leading into the pitch. Hit batter on the play. Runner at first for Rafahi, who struck out looking his last time up. That was against Wyatt Green. Fastball right through outside corner. Strike one. Mazurowski being held on by Mora over there at first base. The Colt 45s at double play depth with the middle infielders. Shaded up the middle as this one's chopped toward the shortstop. Ham flips the second for one. The relay by Carroll to first. In time! The stretch by Mora. 6-4-3. A twin killing. And quickly two away for the Colt 45s.
Nothing prettier than a double play ball.
In that case, Taylor made 6-4-3. Another saying stolen from Ken Korak.
In the batter's box, the Rosebuds.
Chopped ball right toward Gamu. Handled it cleanly, underhand to second base where Carroll was waiting for it. And a quick turn over there at second base. A beautiful stretch by Mora as well at first base. Keep this game.
Rodriguez is 0 for 1 on the night.
Running smoothly. Huge cut and miss there for strike one from Rodriguez. Here in this top of the fourth inning. The 0-1 from Cerda. Fastball on the inside corner, strike two. Cerda rearing back on that one.
That was pretty.
It's a very fast fastball from Cerda. There's some great arms in this Colt 45 pen that actually throw some heat. Cerda is one of them. Cruz Cabral we saw last night, he throws the low 90s. Now the 0-2 pitch on the inside corner. Ring him up. Strike three called. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. The side is retired. Cerda strikes him out on three pitches as we head to the bottom of the fourth. All knotted up at once. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical products in the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing includes products such as fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electric tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Ready Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Up in center field, there's a game that the drive is behind. You skip back. That's a man there. The other two are all. We meet on the bottom of the fourth inning for the 45s.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Brandon Zanny, due up along with Ham and Likens for the Colt 45s. Here's the pitch from Toma. This is low for ball one.
Zanny drew a walk in the first
inning. Toma, after that first inning, has really settled in. Hasn't allowed a hit since. Only one run is the blemish on his scorecard. This is a 1-0 to Zanny. Foul tip right there. Almost swing and miss. Got a piece of it. Even up the count at one ball and one strike.
That no ball brought to you by...
He tried to slow down because he thought he was a fastball and came in kind of a lot slower than what he expected. Just got a piece of it.
A little hesitation in the swing there from Zanny. It digs back in. That even stance on the right side deep in the box. The 1-1 pitch from Toma. Breaking ball on the outside corner. Right at the knee. Count moves to one ball and two strikes. Zanny, his last time up, walked. The 1-2 pitch from Toma, breaking ball. Ground ball toward the shortstop. Hale on the backhand from the 5-6 hole is up the first baseline. It's going to carry him into foul territory, and Zanny will take second base easily as it's quickly recovered by the catcher over there beyond the first base dugout. Zanny reaching on the E6 ends up at second base.
That was a very difficult play for
him. Yeah, he ends up on that shortstop.
Yeah. It was deep in the hole. I don't think he's going to get him, but he thought he could and ended up throwing the ball away.
Brandon Buller will be the courtesy runner.
Entering the game is courtesy runner
for Zanny. Yeah, with it being in the 5-6 hole like that, that really should be the third baseman getting to that baseball. It's not necessarily the shortstop's ball, but with Bayless playing in and Hale playing a little bit farther back, Bayless didn't have as much time to get to it. And Bayless, unable to make the play, made Hale have to make a very difficult play, and the throw was just off target up the first baseline. Got a lot on the throw, but this one's hit in the air towards center. A line shot over the center fielder's head. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Buller around third. He's going to come in to score. Cruising towards second and holding with the stand-up double is Ryan Hamm. Hits this one.
It's a good, solid hit.
Screws.
Hit it right on the screws, as you said, yes. The line shot over his head. He had no chance to catch it.
Rodriguez hesitated initially, wasn't sure where that ball was going to end up, and then started breaking back for it. Almost threw the glove up, trying to get a piece of it, but over his head all the way to the left of that 406 mark, deep out there in center field, and then Hamm able to cruise into second base. Now the pitch to the right-hand hitting Likens. This is high and in for ball one. He grounded after the second baseman, Sunahara, his last time up.
right-hand hitter that even stamps. Toma checks the runner at second. That's Ham. Kicks and deals the 1-0. Hit in the air toward right center. That one's going to go all the way to the wall. Around third, coming in to score. As the throw escapes, the cutoff man is Ryan Ham. It's now 3-1, and Corey Likens with the back-to-back double has himself an RBI.
The Colt 45 showing that they do have bats, and they don't just get based on balls all the time.
Yeah, they're actually able to put a swing on these pitches after getting some pitches in the zone. It seemed like the first time through the batting order, Toma was kind of pitching around the Colt 45s out of the zone, trying to get him to chase, and now that he's started throwing those pitches in the zone, it's not really gone too well for him. 3-1 is Zanizer hits this one toward left field. On the run is the left fielder. Goes past his glove. Short off the wall. Likens rounding third. He'll come in to score. The throw to the cutoff man will keep Zanizer at first with a long single. Zanizer hesitated briefly when rounding first, thinking that the left fielder Cole Winston made the catch, reaching up over his shoulder out there. And left field in front of the Holiday Market advertisement, but ended up going over his head and short hopping the wall. Three straight hits for the 45s will bring up Colby Raphael. Zanizer played the carom off the wall perfectly, which held. Zanizer got held to that single.
Sorry.
Throw down to second base. Mothwell on the stolen base. Yeah, Zanizer with that long single. But as you're saying, Winston out there in left field, just sensational effort, but unfortunately his glove not quite long enough.
Yeah, it went over his head, but he did, like I said, he played the carom perfectly and got it back into his cutoff man. Basic baseball, keep the runner at first.
Yeah, great job by Winston, the left fielder. 1-1 count on Raphael with nobody out and Zanizer at second base after getting that easy stolen base. Here's the 1-1 on the outside corner called. Strike two as the Rosebuds get some activity up in their bullpen.
We're watching it, we're like, oh, that's so harsh.
Looks like it will be Hiro Ishihara out there as this ball escapes the clutches of the catcher Alvilar, and no throw down to third with Zanizer taking off.
Yeah, baby!
Now two balls and two strikes on Raphael.
He bounced that up there, and the catcher did everything he could. Just got away from him. Another wild pitch.
Yeah. Unfortunately, things are starting to become unraveled for Toma, the 2-2. Off the plate outside for ball three.
Their whole season was like that. Like, every game was bad.
Full count on the speedy center fielder with the runner at third. That's Zanizer. The payoff pitch. Ground ball back to the pitcher and through. Sudahara back behind second base. Throws the first in time. What a play by Sudahara.
Nice play.
And again with the speedy Raphael. The run does come in to score. That's Zanizer over there at third. So with the RBI, it's a 5-1 ball game. Sudahara with a sensational play over there back behind second base after the ground ball went through the pitcher.
He's had a few plays back there. He's put on a clinic for
he put on a clinic last night.
Second base.
Yeah. Especially with a smaller size out there at second base. It's very impressive to watch.
I think Altuve is taller than him.
Yeah, Altuve stands at about, I think, 5'6". Sudahara, it might be around the same height. The 1-0 to Mark Anthony Carroll. This is in the dirt for ball two. He's 0-2 with a ground out and a fly out. Also, Sunahara making some quick throws as well. He's got some quick hands as this one's hit in the air. Should be playable for the center fielder, Rodriguez, who will settle underneath it and squeeze it for out number two.
Carroll flies out to center fielder Rodriguez for out number two.
That will bring up Andrew Mora, the left-hand hitter, who's 0-2 tonight with a pop-out and a fly-out. Two away in this 5-1 bottom of the fourth where the Colt 45s have put four on the board.
First baseman, number 24, Andrew Mora.
Andrew Mora with a even stance from the left side. Watches a breaking ball on the outside corner called strike one. to begin his at-bat last inning. Back in the bottom of the third, he also watched back-to-back breaking balls float in on the outside corner. Here's the 0-1. Off-speed misses up and away. One ball and one strike. He's had his Toma kicks and deals at 1-1. This is low for ball two. Breaking ball missed low and away, picked by the catcher Alvilar. Mora readies as Toma comes set. 2-1 ground ball back to the Rosebuds dugout. Some fancy feet over there by one of the Rosebuds. Showing off the dance moves. Dodging that baseball. Two balls and two strikes. The 2-2 pitch from Toma misses low and in to fill the count at three balls and two strikes. Here in the bottom of the fourth inning with two outs, nobody on. The Colt 45s have put four on the board. The outfield playing straight up. The infield shifted the pull on the left-hand hitter. The payoff pitch in the dirt misses low. Mora works the walk.
Toma looks like he might be getting a little tired out there.
That arm slot. Right-hander. And initially, Wyatt Green, the starting pitcher for the Colt 45s, was looking quick. And so, Toma hasn't been in the dugout for a long time, and now it looks like it will be the end of the night for Mitch Toma. After he walks Andrew Mora, Mark Hill's out to the mound. He's going to take the baseball from Toma and bring in Rosebud out of the pen, I believe. Oh, wait, what happens here? He's going to have a little chat. Doesn't look like he's done with him yet.
He has made the call.
This might be Toma's last batter. It's John Handy, who has reached on an error and grounded out tonight. Would assume this is either Toma's last batter or definitely his last inning. Mark Hills will retreat his steps and make his way back to the Rosebud's dugout on that first base side. Toma's going to stay in the game. It looked like this is your last batter type of conversation with both arms, a couple of arms up at the Rosebud's bullpen. You have to imagine that was the conversation. John Handy working against the infield, shifted the pole. It's a first pitch fastball up out of the zone for ball one. John Handy, again, reached on an error. My apologies. Yes, reached on an error, was stranded at third, and then also grounded out. Here's a 1-0, swinging on this one. Popped up toward right. Right fielder settling underneath it. Playable for Lettier. We'll squeeze it for out number three. The side is retired. But the Colt 45s get four. They strand one. It's 5-1 after four. We end to the fifth. Tonight's game is marked by the side of Germany at 381 Crossroads Drive. The supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Would you be the ouch. Now? I want to go. Hold on. Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Jesus Cerda back out there for his second full inning of work. Facing off against these Rose City Rosebuds in a 5-1 ball game. The top of the fifth inning. Cerda now pitching with a 5-1 lead.
One thing we can all agree on: ice cream.
It will be the nine-hitter Sunahara, second baseman, who's put on a clinic, as you said, Dad. out there at second base today. Sunohara, Winston, and Lettier for the Rosebuds. For the fastball right in the top of the zone for called strike one.
Second base for number six, Skylar Sunohara.
Skylar Sunohara for the Rosebuds. Here's the 0-1 from Cerda. Going around a bunt. Perfectly placed up the third baseline. The pitcher unable to make a play on the throw from the third baseman, Marr. Not in nearly enough time, and Sunohara is aboard via the bunt. A great bunt by Sunohara.
Another clank. Had a bunt. That was perfectly placed just past the pitcher, right in front of the third baseman. With his speed, there was no way they were going to get him. He was three steps past the bag when the ball got there.
It was an Ichiro-style bunt as well, with the way that was placed just perfectly between the third baseman and pitcher, and absolutely no sign that he was going to try a bunt there. He's swinging away at the first pitch. This pitch is taken up and away to the left hand hitting Cole Winston for ball one. His last time up, he singled, and then the later come around a sore.
Wonder if Sunohara is going to pick up for second here.
I would put money on it. He's got a huge secondary lead showing bunt and pulling it back, but got a piece of it was Winston. 1-1.
Okay.
Sunohara with a huge secondary lead over at first. The infield shifted a bit to pull on the left-hand hitting Winston as Zanny sets up away. The 1-1, swinging and a miss for strike two, blew a fastball by him. If you're Sunohara, you go on this pitch, assuming that Cerda's working for a strikeout here, not necessarily a ground ball. So checks the runner. Sunohara back at first, being held on by Mora. Here's the 1-2. Poked at down the third baseline. Foul. By about 6 inches.
That was close.
Everyone here thought that was a fair ball, including that whole Rosebuds dugout and some of the fans.
Now we're going to get some jawing from the third base coach.
And now the third base coach is going to have a little meeting with Stephen Young, the home plate umpire. He looks pretty upset with that call, that it was foul. And some of the posts here from our view block off certain parts of that third base bag, but it looked like it hopped over it, but might have been just the angle that I have.
Well, the umpire's got the best angle on it. He's the one that made the call.
At the end of the day, it's the blue crew that makes the final decision. One ball and two strikes with nobody out, and Sunohara on first being held on by Mora. Here's the 1-2 pitch from the righty Cerda. Up and away, backpack toward first, not in time. Zanny trying to nab Sunohara sleeving, but Sunohara, even with that huge secondary lead where he's about a third of the way towards second, still gets back to first base in time. Great hustle from Sunohara. 2-2 now after that pitch was taken out of the zone. 5-1 in the top of the fifth. Now time called. It's the batter, Winston, steps out. The 2-2 pitch from Cerda. Foul tip back to the screen, and we'll do it again.
Just staying alive there on that foul tip.
I don't remember what Ray Fossey used to call it, but that little half-hearted swing where you're just fighting off a pitch. Gotta Google that, find that vernacular to mix that into a broadcast. The late, great Ray Fossey.
Yeah, great catcher, great announcer.
Now the 2-2 from Cerda again, with the runner on first at Sunohara, looking for a double play. A line shot foul up the top of the dugout, third base side, the Colt 45s.
That's going to leave a mark.
You know, on that tin roof over there. Two balls and two strikes after a trio of foul balls. With nobody out in this top of the fifth inning. 5-1. The 2-2 from Cerda again. Sunohara not going. Breaking ball up and away. Winston lays off of that breaking ball. The count fills.
I wonder if Sunohara is going to be taken up on this pitch.
I think with it being 3-2, there's no harm. He's got a huge secondary lead every time. Right now he's 4 or 5 steps off. 3-2 pitch. Poked at toward Mara third. bobbled. Not going to be able to go to second. He's going to have to go to first. Nutt is in time. A bang-bang play over there at first, and Winston is retired. He looks visibly upset. He's going for a little stroll back on the first base dugout. He was, after stomping on the first base bag, waved his arms out to the side that he was safe.
Right.
And then the first base umpire called him out, and I don't have any sort of lip-reading skills from this far away, but I don't think it was a good word that came out of his mouth. Now the first pitch to Letty Ayers called a strike one on the inside corner. Sunahara safe at second.
He had a beef about it. That was a close play.
It was a bang-bang play over there at first base, but Marr with the strong throw able to nab him. Breaking ball misses low and in. To even up the count at one ball and one strike. And we're talking about Ray Fosse. Remember when I met Ray Fosse, he had those scraggly hands that just like all sorts of weird configurations with his fingers after all those years of catching. As this pitch is fouled back to the screen for strike
two. Yeah, none of them are straight. They're all
crooked.
Just a little crooked. Your hand just disappears in here. It was really cool, actually. What I loved about Ray Fosse when he was a broadcaster with the A's also was he would just say what was on his mind. And in that instance, he definitely would have just called out the first base umpire and told him whether or not he was right or wrong. As Sander delivers a fastball right down Broadway. Paul, strike three, got him looking. Lettier down on strikes for out number two. The runner in scoring position, that's Sunahara. Or Connor Hale, who's reached on an error and walked tonight. Ray Fosse, the A's legend. Late, great Ray Fosse. Passed away, I believe it was a couple years ago now.
Don't remember when he passed away.
I think it was a couple years ago, because it was a year before. Last, they were still at the Coliseum. As this pitch is fouled back for strike one.
That one's
going to
get a car.
No car alarm on the PA, maybe it didn't. Found some free real estate. Somehow threaded the needle between cars. No balls and one strike. Center fielder Rafael playing in. Now the 0-1 from Cerda. Fastball in the dirt. Smothered by Zanny.
Good stop.
Looks the runner back soon. Sunahara back to second base. Great play by Zanny. Again, a fellow Red Hawk back behind second base. Called a few games for him this past year with Simpson. Called all sorts of baseball games for the Red Hawks. One ball and one strike. Sarah to whirl. Throw back to second base. Tag applied by Mark Anthony Carroll. Not in time. Which is why initially in this season with the Colt 45s, I would start to say the Redding Colt 45s and would sometimes start to say the Red Hawks. I don't think I ever actually did it, but I came close a few times with that first syllable being the thing. Here's the 1-1 from Feta. Check swing went around for strike two. Tried to hold up, but not even close.
Swing! Swing!
One of those, I don't want to swing at it, but I got to make contact somehow and achieve neither.
Just got that bat head way out in front and went around. Now the 1-2 from Cerda with two outs. Break ball swing! And a miss.
Nice
Bring
pitch,
him up.
Nice pitch.
Beautiful breaking ball. Catches him off balance. The leadoff man gets aboard but perishes over there at second base. It's 5-1 after 4.5. We're halfway through our ball game tonight from Tagger Field in Redding, California. It's the Colt 45's 5. At the Rosebuds, one tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Redding Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Here in the bottom of the fifth, I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Michael Green. It's great to have you with us here on a wonderful Saturday evening edition of Colt 45's Baseball.
I thought Redding's supposed to be hot. This is nice out here.
Thankfully, it's cooled off to a nice 84 degrees. The first pitch a couple weekends ago was 102. And last season, we saw like 115. But thankfully, it's been pretty solid weather. Especially with the 7:15 p.m. start time. And it's just been solid weather, which is a great reminder to bring your family and out to the ballpark here at Tiger Field. Fill up on concessions. Sam Mara line drive into left field, back toward the wall, reaching up for it off the wall. Winston playing it back toward second base to throw. Not in time. The head first belly flop side.
Had to get
Sam Mara.
Had to get the uniform dirty.
Way to get the uni dirty. Sam Mara, a double off the wall and the first pitch swinging. And the leadoff man is aboard. And that slide did not look like it was fun. He dove head first from way out.
He's trying to do a Pete Rose, but it kind of petered out.
That was more of a Pete Rose slide, less of a Ricky Henderson slide. Of course, Ricky Henderson, again, the late, great Oakland A, who was watching airplanes take off and land one day as Andy grants his ball to the shortstop. Hale, backhand, throw to first in time. 6-3 moves the runner-up.
6-3, put out.
Another first pitch swinging. Mara advancing to third. Ricky was watching the airplanes land and realized they would come and load at the ground before they made contact. I don't remember who he asked about it, but he asked why they don't bounce when they land. And that's what he added to his sliding philosophy. And next thing you know, Ricky Henderson, the legend, is born.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Everything. A quote from Ricky, everything I learned about stealing, I learned in Oakland, which is just, that's Ricky. Ricky liked that.
Yeah.
There's a, with Ricky's passing too, there's been a lot of, here's a 1-0, breaking ball, catches the inside corner at the bottom of the zone. Now is a great time to shout out everybody listening to the father-son duo tonight. We got some family out on the East Coast.
We just call it the
And actually, when I was back on the East Coast, I heard a story from Uncle Rob when Ricky was with the Red Sox. Fun interaction that he had with Ricky, which is pretty cool. And, of course, I don't remember what podcast it was, but Will Clark was on it. Will the Thrill, here's the 2-1. Fastball misses wide for ball three. And Ricky was notorious for talking in the third person, but also in a, like, Ricky was talking trash, but no one really knew Ricky was talking trash because it was so funny. And Will Clark tells a story of Ricky in a spring training. Him draws a walk to put runners at the corners. It was in a spring training game, and McGuire was due up on first base with Ricky, and Will Clark's egging him on to run, even though the manager at the time, Tony La Russa, was telling him not to go because he wanted McGuire to do something specific with the shift on and everything. And Ricky turns toward the first base dugout and says, "Ricky, go in!" And then next thing you know, he's on second base, standing with a, after the head first slide, quick fake back to him. Back pick attempt on over to first base after the pitch was taken for a ball on Coley Likens, the right fielder. Digging in from the right side, who doubled his last time up. He's also grounded out tonight. And next thing you know, Ricky's standing over at second base looking back at Will the Thrill going. Told you Ricky was going to go. Now throw down to second base with the runner going. Now throw back home with Mar trying and in safely with the head first slide. A lot cleaner head first slide that time for Mar. It was also ball two.
The old double steal with the runners on the corners.
And it's worked.
And it worked.
Pretty much every time for the Colt 45s. It's now 6-1. They get the easy run across.
Back when we were playing Babe Ruth, the shortstop would usually come over and take the cut between It's a pitcher's mound at second base to turn it fire home, but they didn't do that this time, so they didn't get either runner.
And of course it was none other than Sunahara over there at second base with a strong throw home. He was a ground ball to the left of the shortstop, glides to his left, throws the first a bit high, and a great job by the first baseman Rafahi to climb the ladder a bit on that one. Holding at second base was Ham.
And he looks like he's about 6'3", so he didn't really have to climb very far to get that ball.
And the size difference between the first baseman Rafahi and the second baseman Sunahara is about a foot and a half.
Number 27, Tyler Zanizer.
Now Tyler Zanizer to the plate, who singled his last time up. With two outs here in the bottom of the fifth, here's the pitch from Toma. This is up and in for ball one. I'll have to have Uncle Rob on a call at some point to retell that Ricky story, because no one quite tells that story like he would.
Zanizer's one for two.
Zanizer watches a breaking ball miss inside for ball two. But, of course, it was Ricky when he was with the Red Sox at Fenway. And, you know, Ricky likes to get on base and then steal second. So here's a 2-0 on the inside corner for strike one.
That was a nice pitch.
Beautiful fastball just floated on in there. Two balls and one strike to the right-hand hitting Tyler Zanizer. It's a 2-1 glove of the belt for Toma as he kicks and deals with two outs. Fastball misses low for ball three. Three and one as Toma comes set, kicks and deals. Hit in the air toward left. The left fielder giving chase. Winston looking up, and he will watch it fly. Tyler Zanizer, the kid from Palisadro, with the two-run shot. That puts the Colt 45s up by seven, actually. It's 8-1.
A 3-1 count. You just sit there and you draw a box in your strike zone, and if it's there, you hit it. And he hit it right on the screws. He got all of it on a line drive over the left field wall.
The second night in a row that Tyler Zanizer has hit a home run. His bat has come alive here in this 2025 campaign as it's progressed. Kobe Rafael to the plate now. He's walked, lined out, and grounded out tonight. Yeah, Zanizer just turning on that pitch, pulling it down to left field. Rafael swinging on this one. Ground ball to Sunahara, back line, second base. Bobbled. Quick throw to first. In time for the 4-3 putout. Colt 45s get three. And the side is retired after Rafael grounds out. As we head to the top of the 6th inning tonight, sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 38 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45s.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans. Welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. Jesus Serra back out there for a third full inning of work. Kiddo games are finishing up with the pitcher races over there on the third base side. Rick Bassetti conducting the events. Actually conducting the competition. Serra completes his one process. It's 8-1 after 5 as we are in the top of the 6th inning. I'm Jacob Green with CNR Shasta Redding, joined here by my dad, Michael Green. It's great to have you with us here on a Saturday evening edition of Colt 45's Baseball out of your Tiger Field in Redding, California, where the lights have taken full effect. The top of the 6th inning, it's 8-1. The Colt 45's lead.
Leading off the top of the 6th inning for the Rose Bowl, Third base, number 16.
Sam Bayless is 1-for-2. He's doubled and flown out tonight. Bayless, Alvilar, and Mazarowski do up for the Rosebuds. It's the first pitch from Serta. Breaking ball.
Bayless,
look out. Ducking out of the way with Bayless. Ready.
I think that one slipped a little bit.
That's a breaking ball that didn't quite bite and break. Here's a 1-0. Fastball. Look out. Almost hit him again. Some shin music there.
Maybe he's sending him a message to get off the plate.
It looks like Sam Bayless is actually backed up a little bit off the plate. He does have that extension on his batting helmet, the little chin protector. Ground ball toward the shortstop. Gloves. Throws from the 5-6 hole. Picked at the other end by Andrew Mora. What a play by Mora at first base. Four out number one.
Even got a little dirt in his glove.
Now batting. Catcher, number 20, Gio Alvilar.
Now Gio Alvilar to the plate.
For the Colt 45s. Facing off against the Colt 45s, Jesus Serta, my bad. First pitch misses inside. For ball one. He's flown out and struck out looking tonight. You're in an 8-1 ball game. Swing and a miss for strike one.
Took a big old cut at that. He's trying to hit a 7-run home run.
Tie it up. Blew a fastball by him. Getting high octane from Serta. Now Serta peering in at Zanny. Zanny sets up low and away. A 1-1 pitch with one out, nobody on. Line shot into center field for a base hit. Solid piece of contact from Alvilar. Again, right on the screws. Just laces it into center field for a base hit.
Biggest hole in the infield, right up the middle.
Okay.
Especially with the middle fastball. As Kirk
Mazarowski
comes to the plate, he's been hit by a pitch and struck out swinging tonight. And if he's hit by another pitch, he will take his free base. That will move everybody up 90 feet. And runners at first and second.
You have made
with
me
only
back.
One out for Ash Rafahi, the first baseman, who has struck out looking and grounded into the 6-4-3 double play.
Now, Maddie. First base, number 25, Ash Rafahi.
First pitch to Rafahi.
Two on the ninth. Ice cream is back to regular price, but.
Now the 1-0. In the dirt, blocked by Zanny again. Trying for third. The throw down to third is not in time. Escapes the clutches of Marr, backed up by the shortstop. Now thrown to second base. Escapes Carroll. And coming in to score on a couple of throwing errors is the runner from third, Alvilar's courtesy runner. A blunder of plays. A couple of errant throws from the Colt 45s and the shortstop. For the Colt 45s, Ryan Hamm, very upset with himself. He looks at Serta and kind of taps his chest a little bit, signaling he's sorry for that. It was not the smartest play in his mind. He was backing up the throw at third base that went off the glove of Maul. Snap throw to second base. Serta.
The courtesy runner's last name was Henry, number 8. For the Rosebuds.
I believe is a returner from last year.
No, excuse me. I was wrong on that. Excuse me.
Hank Kern.
Hank Kern, yes.
Which I believe is still a returner from last year. Two balls and one strike. Runner at second with one out. It's 8-2 after that throwing error. Fastball on the inside corner for strike two. That evens up the count at two balls and two strikes. Mazarowski at second base.
Cerda checks him back. Now the 2-2 pitch from Cerda. On the inside corner, ring him up. Strike three called. Right at the knees. Rafai down on strikes looking for the second time tonight. That's out number two. Mazurowski still over there at second base. With a beautiful sunset out here at Tagger Field. Two away for the right-hand hitting Cesar Rodriguez, who struck out looking twice as he, turning away from this pitch, is going to go off his heels. He'll take first base. He flips the bat in disgust, having to rechase his steps as Mazurowski, who is running to third on the play. Another hit batter for Cerda. Seems to be losing control a little bit. Looks like his arm slot is dipping as well. A little bit of fatigue setting in.
Now he's hitting the right-handed batters just fine.
And just running a little bit inside on those righties, those right-on-right matchups.
Little powwow over the mound.
Sandy looks to go out and just chat with Cerda, calm him back down, and also just kind of ice this game a little bit for Skyler Sunahara, who got aboard via the bunt his last time up. Infield playing behind the runners. Left side shifted to pull on Sunahara. First pitch taken for a ball. Low and inside. Cerda comes set. There's a 1-0 pitch to the right-hand hitting Sunahara. Fastball, foul tipped, back to the screen. One ball and one strike.
He just barely missed that one.
He was on time with it, just didn't quite get a great piece of the barrel on it. Here's a 1-1 from Cerda. Swing and a miss for strike two. Blew the fastball by him. One ball and two strikes. Cerda peering in, working out of the stretch. Love up by his shoulder, checks the runner back. Now the 1-2, runners on first and second. Breaking ball popped up. Mora giving chase back beyond the first base dugout, but he's going to run out of real estate. Lands toward the parking lot. Sunahara staying alive. One and two with two outs. Cerda with a new baseball. Peering in at Zandy. Runners at first and second. This 8-2 ball game in the top of the sixth. Cerda, the 1-2 delivery. Fastball on the inside corner. Ring him up. Strike three called right at the knees. The side is retired. A couple of Ks looking in the inning for Cerda. He gets out of the jam with minimal damage. The Rosebuds get one, but they strand a pair. It's 8-2. After 5.5, it's the end of the bottom of the sixth. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electrical tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colts 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tagger Field in Redding, California. It's great to have you with us here on a wonderful Saturday night edition of Colt 45's baseball. The Rose City Rosebuds out of Portland, Oregon, taking on your Colt 45's. A new pitcher on in relief. It's going to be Hiro Ishihara for the Rosebuds. On in relief of Mitch Toma, went 5 innings of 5 hit and 8 run baseball. He'll be facing off against Mark Anthony Carroll, Mora, and Handy, the heart of the order for the Colt 45s, as Alvilar will make his throw down to second base. And I take that back. It's actually Karsten Lau in the game at catcher now. Karsten Lau, actually. My apologies.
Leading off, catcher. Colt 45s. Second base, number four, Mark Anthony Carroll.
Defensive replacement for the Rosebuds. Carroll, the right-hand hitter, turns away from a breaking ball that misses inside for ball one. Carroll's 0 for 3 with a ground out and a couple of flyouts. There's the 1-0 on the outside corner to even up the count at one ball and one strike. One ball and one strike with nobody out. Mark Anthony Carroll, right-hand hitter. The 2-1 pitch misses low and away for ball three. Here's a 3-1 breaking ball behind the runner, and Carroll will take first base with the free pass. So the leadoff man is aboard for the Colt 45s. Now, Andrew Mora to the plate. Walk popped out and flown out tonight, searching for his 26th RBI of the 2025 campaign. I'm Jacob Green here with Casey and R. Shasta Redding, joined here by my dad, Michael Green. On a beautiful night for baseball. Game where the lights have taken full effect. No one count on left-hand hitting Andrew Mora. Runner going. The throw down to second base by Karsten Lau is not in time. Safe at second base with a clean steal is Mark Anthony Carroll.
That was a good throw, but he stole that one off the pitcher.
Karsten Lau in the game as a defensive replacement for Gio Alvilar. Getting his first chance to throw out a Colt 45 and just not quite in time. Breaking ball on the outside corner. Four strike two. The throw a little bit high. What a catch by the pitcher, showing off the athleticism. Hiro Ishihara. Ishiharo, my apologies. Climbing the ladder on that one. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. Looking shot toward the shortstop. A leaping grab to his right. What a play by the shortstop of the Rosebuds, Connor Hale, who gets a round of applause from the fans here at Tiger Field. A line shot to his left, leaping at a 45-degree angle, snow-coned the baseball, and tried to make a play to nab Mark Anthony Carroll at second base.
That was a very, very nice play.
Now, John Handy to the plate. Breaking ball, turning away from it. Just missing, wearing that one for ball one. Again, you're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. Here's the 1-0. Andy ducking out of the way for ball two. Another breaking ball that just can't quite seem to be tamed by the relief pitcher Hiro Ishihara. Working off that first base side out of the stretch. Toma went 5 innings, 3 hits, 8 runs. He struck out only one Colt 45. Now a 3-0 count on Handy after that pitch misses as well. Here's a 2-0 from Ishiharu. And Handy works the walk on 4 pitches, so he will be aboard.
Handy does the walk.
I'll bring up. Sam R. Here in this bottom of the sixth inning. First pitch misses up and in. For ball one. Runners at first and second. With one out, the infield shifted to pole on the right end, hitting Marr, who has doubled, grounded out, and walked tonight. This pitch misses inside, kicks away from the catcher, all the way to the backstop, and the runners will advance 90 feet. Here in this 8-2 ball game. Both runners in scoring position for the right-hand hitting Sam Marr. Breaking ball hit in the air. We'll get down for a base hit. Trotting in to score is Carroll, and holding at third is John Handy.
That was just a good, solid base hit to left field.
And that wild pitch coming back to White Ishiharu. Runners at the corners for Brandon Zanny.
Catcher number 28, Brandon Zanny.
The catcher tonight for the Colt 45s, and there it was. I almost said it again. Almost said for the Red Hawks. So used to saying Brandon Zanny and Red Hawks in the same sentence. Runner going, ball in the dirt, blocked by the catcher. Wow. Taking second base is Marr with no throw down there. Runners at second and third now. One to know. Ishiharu comes set, kicks and deals. Ball in there again, blocked by Lowe. The ball two. The Colt 45s have some activity out in their bullpen. It looks like Dan Acedo out there. Here's the 2-0 from Ishiharu. Glove tucked up in front of him as he's peering in at the belt. Now comes set, working from the first base side of the rubber. Kicks and deals. 2-0. Swing and miss from Zanny. Two balls and one strike. Huge cut and miss there from Zanny.
It's what they call pulling the string on that breaking ball.
And Zanny right there was going fishing for it. Here's a 2-1. Breaking ball chopped foul down the third base side. This count moves to two balls and two strikes.
That foul ball brought to you by Boundary Waters.
For the right-hand hitting Zanny, Adam Reyes, the first base coach tonight for the Colt 45s. Eric Winchester, the third base coach. Handy takes his lead from third. Marr takes his lead from second. The infield shifted to pole on the right-hand hitting Zanny. Breaking ball misses way up high for ball three. A huge bender, but nothing in the zone. Three balls and two strikes with one out. 3-2. Line shot through the 5-6 hole. Coming in to score is Handy around third. The throw comes into the cutoff man. Not in time. Skipped past him. Zanny thought about going for two, and a great play by the shortstop to keep that ball close to him.
He just muscled it between the third baseman and the shortstop. And the manager's making a visit to the mound.
Both runners come in to score. It's now 11-2. With Marr able to make his way around. Bowler will be the courtesy runner. And Mark Hills, the head coach, out to the mound. Going to talk things over with Ishiharu.
to see where Ishihara was at. He's allowed 3 runs in this inning and is responsible for Bowler over there at first. There's nobody up in the bullpen for the Rosebuds. They might get some activity out there soon. Mark Hills will make his way back to the dugout. Be Ryan Hams in the plate. Right-hand hitter who has walked, stolen second double where he came around to score and struck out swinging today.
Now Ryan
Ham out of UC Irvine. Open stance for the right-hand hitter deep in the box. Bowler takes his lead from first, being held on by Rafagi. This one's hit in the air toward right. Right fielder drifting back right to the track, looking up, and it is gone! Actually, it's off the top of the wall and cruising into second base. Bowler comes around third. He'll come in to score. That ball was hit on the screws, and it looked like the right fielder also thought it was gone, but it bounced right back to him. I don't think you can get closer to a home run than that.
And big opposite field double.
But a stand-up double for Hans. Another double. Another RBI double with that.
Yeah, just a few more inches, and that thing would have been gone. It's right out there by the KCNR sign.
That's what I was going to say. Just right to the left of that KCNR sign out there in right, which is also down by that Billy Plummer jersey that they put in last year in honor of the late, great Billy Plummer, a personal friend of Rick Pacetti. Also, Billy Plummer's son. Played with the Colt 45s just a few years ago as well, who is also a Simpson alum. Now a 1-0 count on the right-hand hitting Corey Likens. The 1-0 breaking ball, check swing, grounded up the third baseline. Bayless charging. The throw to first, not in time. Is in time.
He got him, yep.
Called
got
out.
Him.
I looked for the field umpire out there and then couldn't find him. Great play by Bayless, who lost his footing after making the throw as well. Likens retired 5-3 on the play.
Yeah,
out number two.
When you make a play like that, they're not watching you. They're watching the ball at first base.
That's just a great play by Bayless, who, again, not able to get a lot on that throw, but got it in time, and it was on target as well for Rafahi. Runner at third with 2 outs. A 12-2 ball game as Tyler Zanizer takes a call to strike one.
Bayless was showing off some good footwork there by the third baseman and how you circle around the ball and square up to it and get it over there first, even when you can't really put a lot on it.
There's the 0-1 in the dirt, blocked by Lowe. And, yeah, from those days of playing third base, I remember doing drills endlessly of that same little squib ground ball just to the left of the pitcher's mound. You circle around it and make the throw off balance, which is basically an inverted second base, which is why those plays by Sunahara are so good. Zanizer hits this one toward right, drifting back as the right fielder to the track, right to the wall. He'll make the play. Gives it a ride, but not quite enough muscle to it, and the side is retired. The Colt 45s get 4, but they strand 1. As we head to the top of the 7th inning, tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45s.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field, right in California, on in relief of Jesus Cerda, is Daniel Acedo, in honor and relief of Jose Cerda, who went three innings. He struck out three. He allowed one run. That was just last inning. Two hits. And he struck out a total of five, following in the footsteps of Wyatt Green, who started tonight's game. Another solid relief outing from Jesus Cerda. Apart from the hit batters, he had three of them.
Yeah, you get close to you.
Now Daniel Acedo rocking the old school black and white stirrups. It's 12-2 here in the top of the seventh.
Well, I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Don't see very many stirrups these days.
Now, there's actually probably three Colt 45s that actually wear the stirrups.
And yeah, you know, top of seven,
I was one of the players that I played that loved rocking the socks up high, a la a few players that I watched growing up. Of course, Josh Reddick being one of the main ones. First pitch from Dan Acedo misses wide for ball one. To the top of the order, Cole Winston. Left-hand hitter. He's grounded out, singled, and struck out swinging tonight. Takes another pitch outside the zone for ball two.
Guys back in, when I played, they would actually take and cut the stirrups, put elastic in there to make them even higher.
That's the way to do it. Very old school. Here's the 2-0 right down bottom of the zone, or called strike one. I believe it's Brandon Bowler. Brandon Bowler is another player that rocks the old school stirrups, but he also has custom Vans cleats. Swing and miss for strike two. Ooh, a fastball by him. He's got the black and white Vans that are custom cleats that he got custom made to go with the black and white stirrups. And that's a really cool look when the Colt 45s have the home whites as their threads.
Anybody got any Crocs out there?
Not yet. Here's the 2-2. Just off the plate outside to fill the count at three balls. And two strikes. Custom croc cleats would be one.
A little over the top, don't you think?
One crazy side. I think there's probably a major leaguer that's had that at some point. Here's the payoff pitch off the first base side of the rubber for the righty. Poked at a little flare into foul territory. Marr giving chase. Will squeeze it on the run. A great play by Sam Marr. That's out number one for Dan Acedo coming into this game.
And I'm happy. Right fielder, number 15,
Harmon. One start and a total of five games. 13 innings underneath his belt. He's got 13 strikeouts. He's walked one, allowed 12 hits. He's 1-0 with a 3.46 ERA. That one win he has coming against the Tehama Bulls. First pitch to the right-hand hitting Armand Lettier misses low for ball one. Lettier has walked and struck out twice tonight. Here's the 1-0 to the right-hander with the wide-open stance. Hit in the air toward right, giving chase is the right fielder. Likens is going to go beyond his glove off the wall, right under the 310 mark, and cruising into second base with a stand-up double is Armand Lettier.
That thing started out about middle of right field and then just turned like my golf shot to the right, and he just couldn't catch it.
Yeah, beautiful opposite field hit right there. Yeah, also like my golf swing. Just an inside-out swing, take it to the opposite field. But that's how I hit in baseball. It's also how I hit in golf, which is super great on a straight fairway, let me tell you. It's a great job by Likens as well to quickly recover that baseball. And the outfield out there, about 25 feet in from that foul pole, actually juts out with an angled wall just a little bit. And so it's a tough right field to play. Left field is a little bit more even, but right field out there. You deal with that angled wall, and then it's got about 15 feet where it's straight. A little bit of a obtuse angle out there. Here's the 1-0 from Acedo in on the hands for ball two.
Yeah, he did a great job of hustling after that ball and getting it back in and holding the runner to just a stand-up double.
And Lettier wasn't even thinking three. He was slowing down right around halfway between first and second. Here's a 2-0. Misses high and upstairs, a little bit inside for ball three. Hale has walked, reached on an error, and struck out swinging tonight. He's working a 3-0 count with one out. You're in this 12-2 top of the seventh. Fastball right down Broadway. Called strike one. 3-1 with a runner at second in a 12-2 ball game. The 3-1 delivery from the righty, Acedo popped up.
Straight up.
Zanny drifting toward the netting and colliding with Marr just briskly. Ended up not able to get to it. Marr was charging in from third base trying to get to that baseball and ends up finding some fairway and staying alive by the skin of his teeth is Connor Hale. Some miscommunication between Marr and Zanny, and I have headphones on, but I did not hear any sort of screaming and yelling to call each other off. Zero communication.
Yeah, that's what not to do. They had enough time to go get a beer and come back and catch that ball. It was so high.
And Marr doing a great job of being ready to back up the play, but for Zanny, just assuming that was his baseball, and swing and a miss. Zanny calls for the fastball up and in and hits the swing and a miss, so Hale down on strikes.
Well, the third baseman has the better glove, so it should have been his ball all the way.
But also, it's right around home plate like that.
Yeah.
No communication. Just not a good spot to be in.
Yeah, it was just miscommunication.
And Marr, of course, we've seen it all season long. I mean, you've listened to it all season long, but Marr loves chasing down those baseballs in foul territory. A great effort from Marr, but unfortunately for the Colt 45, it's just not the way they drew it up. However, still getting the punch out. Here's a 1-0. A little flare back behind second base into center field where Rafael quickly pays it back. And Mora was going to go over to cut it off. Now into second base with a head first slide.
The
shortstop.
This little doink right out over second base.
Ryan Hamm was throwing his hands up at second base saying, don't even throw it down here. Just let it. Just eat it.
Pinch hitter, number one, Carson Lowe.
Holding at third is Lettier. Bayless up to second base. Sam Bayless still is the only Rosebud that has not struck out tonight. It's the first pitch to number one for the Rosebuds. Carsten Lowe in the spot of Gio Alvilar. Swing and a miss for strike two. Strike one, rather. Evens up the count of one ball and one strike. With two outs, runners at second and third. It's 12-2. Acedo kicks and deals. Swing! And a miss for strike two. One ball and two strikes.
Looked like he was fooled on that pitch.
Yeah, low, way off balance here. Just tardy on both of those swinging misses. Acedo comes set on the first base side of the rubber. The stirrup's up high. The 1-2 pitch. Just a bit low. Moves the count to two balls and two strikes. Now Acedo comes set. Runners take their leads. The 2-2 delivery on the outside corner. Ring him up. Strike three called. The side is retired. The Rosebuds fail to score. They strand a pair. It's time to stretch here at Tiger Field in Redding, California. Colt 45 is up by a score of 12-2. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Redding Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Redding Colt 45.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You gotta step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking. For us, it's not just about vibes or trends, it's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curation.
Hi, I'm Steve Coburn, proud owner of Country Air Pet Resort here in Redding. I invite you to come and take a tour of my revitalized pet resort. Our goal here at Country Air is to make sure your pet can relax and have a healthy, happy time away from home. With friendly, caring people, lots of fresh air and exercise, good healthy food, and plenty of pampering. There are no small cages here. What we offer are large temperature-controlled runs and spacious exercise yards that are great for fun and socialization. We even offer daycare. Cats are treated to a two-room apartment, plus playtime in our playroom. So stop by and take a tour of the best. You and your pet will want to come back to Country Air Pet Resort, where our motto is, we treat your pets as if they were our own. Country Air Pet Resort, 549-3335.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. It's a 1-1 count on the leadoff man, the center fielder, the speedster, Colby Raphael. After taking for a pitch ball and then a foul ball back over the screen. It's a 1-1 count facing off against Hiro Ishiharu of the Rosebuds here in this 12-2 ball game in the bottom of the seventh. Leaning back away from a curveball, but it floats back over the zone, called strike two. A 1-2 count now on the center fielder, Raphael. Right-hand hitter, the infield shifted the pole, the outfield shaded toward left, the 1-2 pitch, and a breaking ball hit foul out of play down the first base side. Fail stays alive on the inside-out swing.
That foul ball brought to you by KCNR 1468 and 96.5 Live FM.
1-2.
Three-fire reading.
Ishiharu bending at the belt, now comes set on the first base side, kicks and deals the 1-2. Fouled back, out of play again. Ishiharu also hits it out of the stretches. We get a shout out here from the PA system, KCNR Shasta Redding. You can listen online, anywhere, anytime, over the airwaves at KCNR1460.com, bringing to you a full slate of Colt 45's baseball during this 2025 campaign. The 1-2 pitch, breaking ball. Raphael leans back out of the way of it for ball two. Ishiharu also pitching out of the stretch.
If you're going to get hit, you want to get hit with the breaking ball.
Yeah, no heaters. The 2-2 poked at, hit in the air towards center, and it's going to drop for a base hit. Raphael with a great piece of hitting there.
That was just a little defensive swing, reached out, just poked it into center field. Nice piece of hitting there.
The center fielder, Rodriguez. Trying to get to it quickly, but unable to get to it without having to play it on a hop. Now Mark Anthony Carroll to the plate, and again, not a betting man, but Raphael will be in motion here. In the first couple of pitches, as a breaking ball misses inside and hopped away from the catcher low for a couple of seconds, but quickly recovers to hold Raphael at first base. Another breaking ball thrown by Ishiharu.
I think Rafael's going to go after he gets the sliding glove on. Now Carroll hits a line shot right at the left fielder, Cole Winston, who makes the squeeze. Quickly plays it back to hold Rafael at first base. Carroll lines out to Cole Winston. Four out number one here in this bottom of the seventh.
I know sometimes when you have a 10-run lead, it's you don't steal, but this league is a little bit different.
Yeah, we'll see exactly what Rafael does. One of those unwritten rules of baseball type of thing. The outfield shades back straight up on Andrew Mora, who is 0-for-3 on the night with a walk. Rafael doesn't look like he'll be in motion. He's got a moderate lead over there at first. Another breaking ball on the outside corner right at the belt. Called strike two on Mora.
One of those old respect the game type rules.
It's actually strike one on Mora, sorry. I'll make sure I have that count right. Rafael, definitely not running. Another breaking ball misses high to even up the count at one ball and one strike. Especially with the right-hander, it would be easy for Rafael to get a much larger lead. The 1-1, breaking ball misses high again to ball two. Two balls and one strike. The Rosebuds looking for two to get out of the innings. There's the middle infielders, Hale and Sunahara, shaded up the middle. The 2-1, another breaking ball that misses high. Three balls and one strike to Andrew Mora, the left-hand hitter.
It's like he's struggling with that breaking ball to get it over. It's on a 3-1 count, you expect a fastball. You might be able to drive this thing.
Here, ground ball toward the shortstop. Hale flips to second for one. Sunahara, the turn in time. 6-4-3, Taylor made twin killing. And the side is retired. The leadoff man gets aboard, but... side is retired. 45's failed to scratch across the run. It's 12-2 after 7. You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding, home of the Colt 45s. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electrical tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Redding Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Redding Colt 45s.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green. It's great to have you with us here on a wonderful Saturday evening edition of Cool 45's Baseball. Jacob Green joined here by... hi, Dad. Michael Brink. It's great to have you with us here in the top of the eighth inning. The Colt 45s on top by a score of 12-2. Leading things off will be Mazurowski, Rafahi, and then Rodriguez due up for the Rosebuds. In the top of the eighth, first pitch swinging, fouled off. Marr giving chase, but it will land out of play back near the Colt 45 pen. First strike number one on the right of Kirk Mazurowski. Now everyone resets back to their places and spaces. Here's the 0-1. This is low.
Drop that pitch sidearm, trying to sneak it by him.
A little bit of a different arm movement. Try some stuff out here. And I assume this will be Dan Acedo's game to close out, and if he goes three innings the rest of the way, as he goes a fastball in the outside corner called strike two, he would get the save. There's and obviously, up by 10, it's not a safe situation. But
there's nobody up in the bullpen.
With it being a three or more innings of relief, the 1-2 is a ground ball right back toward the screen. Jan Dexter for the Colt 45s. He would qualify as a save. 1-2 to the right hand hitting Mazurowski, who has struck out and then been hit by a pitch twice tonight. So he'll be a little sore tomorrow. There's the 1-2 from the righty Acedo. This is wide outside for ball two.
On those hit by pitches, both times he never moved. He just stood there and took it. So he's used to getting hit.
Take your free base. It looks like he stands over the plate. Also with that protective gear. He hits this one in the air toward right center. Rafael giving chase. It's going to get all the way to the wall toward that right center gap. Around first, digging for two, maybe more. He hits the bag at second. The throw in from the cutoff man. The third is just going to be held on to. And a stand-up triple for Kirk Mazurowski. The leadoff man is aboard for the Rosebuds. A great piece of hitting there. Drove that ball toward the opposite way, just to the left of the 370 mark out there. And Rafael wasn't necessarily in a hurry to throw it back in, but his throw was actually offline a little bit.
He got to it quick, but just bad geometry.
No point in hurting your arm by trying to huck it back in.
Oh, with a 10-point lead, 10-run lead.
This one's chopped over the reaching hand of Acedo, charging in from shortstop, unable to make the play. And the run comes in to score. Everybody's going to be safe, moving up 90 feet. Ashraf Fahy with the infield single. Coming in to score is Mazurowski.
That had ugly written all over it. It just bounced over the pitcher's head and just squibbing out there saying, try to catch me, and nobody did.
Charging in from shortstop was Ryan Hammond, just ended up basically pinning the ball back into the ground. End of that infield grass, unable to get it cleanly with how slow it was rolling after Sato tried to make a play on it. He delivers a fastball low and away for ball one. IG Sato pinch hitting for Cesar Rodriguez. Ground ball up the middle, waiting for it is the second base mark. Anthony Carroll gloves, throws the first, head first slide by Sato, not in time. 4-3 double play. What a great play to get the twin killing for the second baseman, Mark Anthony Carroll. Sato with a sensational effort over there at first base, the head first slide, full extension, but not in time. And IG Sato standing at about 6'3", so he's got a long extension. And now Skyler Sunahara up to the plate, who's struck out twice and reached on that bunt, hits this one in the air toward right. Playable for the right fielder Lycan, who handles the routine fly ball, and the side is retired. We had two the bottom of the eighth inning. The Colt 45s on top by a score of 12-3. Tonight's game is sponsored by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing, a proud sponsor of your Reading Colt 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
And welcome back to Tiger Field in Redding, California. The Colt 45s on top. 12-3 after the Rosebuds got one back this last inning. It will be Handy Marr and Zandy do up for the Colt 45s.
On that last inning, though, the double play where Sato running down the line dives at first base, That's the big debate on, is it faster to run through or to dive? Which one gets you there faster?
Well, I think when you're 6'4 or 6'5 like Sato is, it's probably better to just dive head first and try for that full extension. But in that case, also Sato with the long legs, I mean, just a bang-bang play no matter what. Handy laying off a breaking ball to pitch the outside corner for strike one.
Maybe he just wanted to get his uniform dirty. Looked like he played the whole game.
Yeah, with that pinch hit, he had a chance to get that uniform dirty. He's now out in right field. This one's dunked over, and a great catch made by a fan. A great souvenir.
Nice catch. Without the glove, the bare hands.
Nice little Dwight Clark-style catch over there.
Yeah.
Both hands reached up above his head. Handy swings on this one, fouls it back to the screen for strike two.
Baseball or Otter Pop? That is the question.
As the PA announcer, who does a great job for us out here at Tiger Field, Chad, asks the age-old question, baseball or Otter Pop? Handy fouls this one back toward the dugout again to stay alive at no balls and two strikes. Because if you get a foul ball here, you can turn it in for an Otter Pop. There are those baseballs with a little bit of life still left in them can be used for BP and other things for the Colt 45s during practice. Here's the 0-2 from Ishihara. Breaking ball just a bit inside. Great take there from Handy.
That one just curved right around the plate.
12-6, but not over the plate. Would have been a great pitch if it was about 3 inches more over the plate. Here's the 1-2. Fastball hit in the air toward left. That's going to get down all the way to the wall. The left fielder, Winston, over to play it back and hold John Handy to a stand-up double.
That was just a beautiful stroke right into the alley. Just basic stand-up double.
Up the alley where no one's going to get it. Cole Winston quickly had to play it back in.
He's going
to
sleep well.
Great job by Winston as well to get it back quickly. And hold Handy to the lead-up double. Now Sam Marr to the plate, who's singled, doubled, walked, and grounded out tonight. The leadoff man aboard here in this top of the eighth inning watches a breaking ball miss high upstairs for ball one. Right-hand hitter, open stance deep in the box. Ishihara delivers a off-speed right on the inside corner at the knees. Even up the count at one ball and one strike. Low and a bluff back to second base. Handy back. Just in case there was a throw from Hiro Ishihara.
It's a beautiful night out here at the ballpark. Kids running around still.
We're sitting at about 80 degrees. Just 10 degrees cooler than first pitch. The 1-1, just a bit low and outside for ball two. Under clear skies and
there is no wind. There is no wind.
Those flies out there in center field standing completely still, but it's nice and cool. Here's the 2-1. Breaking ball, broken bat, flare toward right. Giving chase is Sato in the game in right field. He's going to have to play it on a hop. The throw into first base is not in time. And coming around to score is Handy. Coming around to score easily with no contest. Ismar singles. Home another run. Now 13-3. The Colt 45s back up by 10. For Brandon Zanny.
For
another great piece of hitting for Sam Marr. That is his third hit of the night. Another inside-out swing, and Sato in right field just had to play it on a hop. So first pitch to the right-hand hitting Zanny on the outside corner. Called strike
Zanny's
one.
Zanny's 1-3 on the back of the walk.
Over the last three games, the Colt 45 have scored 42 runs.
They've put some crazy offensive numbers up. Zanny lines this one just beyond the extension of the first baseman Ashrafahi over there at first base, but lands foul for strike two. We saw it last weekend as well against the, I believe it was the South Bay Storm they played before the Alameda Anchors. They scored about 40-plus runs in two games. There's the 0-2, misses high and in. One ball and two strikes. Just able to take advantage of those free bases from the walks, but then also the power that this lineup has to drive the ball into the opposite field or up the alleys. And Zanny is strung up on strikes. Got him on the off-speed on the inside corner. That's out number one. Now the Rosebuds are a double play away from heading to the ninth.
Number 19, Ryan.
Now Ryan Hamm to the plate, who's doubled, walked, doubled, and struck out swinging tonight. He's had a solid day at the plate. First pitch, the breaking ball, misses upstairs. The ball one. Sam Marr not going anywhere at first base, but being held on by Rafael. Here's the 1-0. A line shot over the leaping shortstop for the Rosebuds. Hale and in the left field for a base hit. That will move the runners to first and second. Also, that's Ham's third hit of the night.
Not a bad evening. Three hits.
In the batter's box.
That'll be Corey Likens, who has doubled and grounded out three times tonight. One of two Colt 45s. The only Colt 45 who's only reached base once tonight. He's had a quieter day at the plate than typical. Takes ball one. Is the 1-0, misses upstairs for ball two. Now the 2-0 from Ishiharo is foul tipped back to the screen. Two balls and one strike on Likens. Runners at first and second for the Colt 45s. Bending at the belt is Ishiharo. Comes set now, the 2-1. Just a bit high again for ball three. Likens with the even stance on that right side. Waves the with the infield playing behind the runners. The 3-1 pitch. This is high again. Likens will work the walk. Now the bases are loaded for Tyler Zanheiser, who's homered, singled, reached on an error, and flown out tonight. The Colt 45s with an opportunity to just pour it on. They're going to draw the corners in. Also shift the pull on Tyler Zanheiser, the left fielder for the Colt 45s. The first pitch with one out. Schick swings. There you go. Misses low. Hear that solo shot back in the fifth. Here's the 1-0. Breaking ball on the outside corner, right at the belt. Keeping up the count at one ball and one strike. Ishiharo, ball tucked behind him, glove up by his belt. He bends his knees now. Peering in, comes set, kicks and deals the 1-1. Breaking ball waved at by Zanheiser. Ground ball to Bayless, steps on third, throws to first in time. 5-3 double play for Bayless. Erases the lead runner. My apologies, Ryan Hamm, and the side is retired. As we head to the ninth, the Colt 45s leave them loaded. The Colt 45s on top by a score of 13-3. It will be Dan Acedo trying to close out this ball game. When we return after this message from North Valley Distributing,
and 3081 Crossroads Drive, for Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electrical products for the industrial and construction market. Valley focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, electrical tools, and more. North Valley Distributing, a sponsor of your Reading Cold 45.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Tiger Field in Redding, California. Dan Acedo looking to close out this ball game. He would hit the save. This ball game ends the way it stands as of right now. This one's fouled off. Out of play. For strike one.
Another ball looking for a car.
It's a pinch hitter for the Rosebuds. Ground ball toward the 5-6 hole. A shortstop with a quick throw off the back foot. What a play by Ryan Hamm in the 5-6 hole to retire the Rosebuds leadoff hitter of this top of the ninth inning. That's out number one.
And
now,
pinch hitter
Hank Kern to the plate. Left-hand batter, pinch hitting for Armand Lettier. Fouls this one back to the netting. Third nine in a row, I was about less than a foot away from getting a souvenir myself. That's strike one.
What makes you think you would have got it? Maybe I would have caught it.
Should have brought my glove with me. That's what I should have done. Yeah, maybe not battling for a foul ball up over here, but...
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe I got longer arms. I'm not sure. Strike two called in the bottom of the zone. I would have dove for it, probably, is actually what would have happened.
I'm too old for that.
I'm getting up there, too. No balls and two strikes with one out.
Shut up.
Although you famously went over the railing at the Coliseum on a home run ball, which, wearing a Terry Steinbach jersey, this one thumps off a power pole, staying alive, which is probably one of the better highlights you've had in your baseball career that was caught on video, at least.
Yeah. It's one of my one times I've been on TV.
But Glenn Kuiper did say Terry Steinbach would be proud, which is... pretty high praise. Here's the 0-2 from the righty Acedo. Poke that. And staying alive again.
Doing a good job of battling these pitches, fighting them off.
Staying alive like the Bee Gees. No balls and two strikes. With one out, it's 13-3 here in the top of the ninth inning. The Colt 45s a couple of outs away from improving to 21-2 on the year. So late kick, the pitch. Foul tips again. Zandy couldn't hold on to it. No balls and two strikes with one out. Acedo peering in at Zandy. Sets up low and away. The 0-2 pitch with one out. Check swing. Zandy not able to get a hold on it. Hank Kern staying alive. He's fouled off four pitches now.
Still an 0-2 count as Acedo comes set. The leg kick, the 0-2 pitch. Hit in the air, out of play.
Another souvenir.
Down the third base side toward the Colt 45-10. Another souvenir slash Otter Pop.
Otter Pop. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Otter Pops. I think I'd hang on to it.
I have collected three this year, and I'm proud to say I've held on to all three of them. A couple of them found near my car. But here's the 0-2. Just a bit low.
That missed somewhere.
Zanny tried to frame it as best he could. Now the count moves to one ball and two strikes.
He held on to it a little longer, too, thinking, that was, come on, Blue, help me out.
In a 10-run ball game, that'll go to the batter every time. Here's the 1-2 pitch. That went away, ring him up.
That was a good battle. That was
another
a good battle.
Strikeout for the Rosebuds. An epic battle, but walking away with the W is Daniel Acedo.
Now batting.
That is the 15th strikeout. Now Alex Rodriguez will pinch hit for Connor Hale, and no, not the Yankee. As he fouls this one toward the Rosebuds dugout for strike one. The 15th strikeout for the Rosebuds tonight. Here's the 0-1 delivery from Acedo on the outside corner for strike two.
Down to their last strike.
Wide open stance for the right-hand hitter. Here's the 0-2 pitch from Daniel Acedo. Just a bit low. A tough take from Alex Rodriguez there on that 50-50 ball. Acedo comes set, working off the first base side of the rubber. The 1-2 delivery with two outs. Foul tipped into the glove of Zanny. He holds on, and the game ends via the strikeout. The final time of the game, 2 hours and 37 minutes. The Colt 45s improve to 21-2 on the year. The win goes to Jesus Cerda. The loss goes to Mitch Thoma. The save, Daniel Acedo, who goes the final three. Three runs on eight hits, three errors. They left nine. The Colt 45s, 13 runs on 12 hits, one error, and 12 left on base. Again, the final time of the game, 2 hours and 37 minutes. We'll see you back out here tomorrow night at 7:15, the pregame show at 7:05. Thanks to KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNR1460.com. And everyone listening back home, special thanks to my producer, David Wiley, assisted by Miracle, back in the studio engineering things for us. This is Jacob Green and Michael Green, the father-son duo with KCNR Shasta Redding. The voices of the Colt 45s tonight saying thanks for listening, and please drive safely. The final score from Tiger Field tonight here in Redding, California is the Rosebuds 3 and your Colt 45s 13.
Allow trans men to be in women's sports and apologize for the ones that lost medals or placements or trophies because of it. They all did this. He won a major case of the Supreme Court that stopped the district courts from stopping him. Border crossings down literally from now we have border apprehensions at 6,000. Do you know it was over 100,000 under Biden at some points? You know how many people got in? No. He's got the money for all of it coming in. Massive crackdown on TDA. The Iran nuke program, at least for now, has been destroyed. That's what this guy has done. And he's just getting started. And believe me, I think the economy is going to soar from here on in. If they can get a rate cut and then he can get this big, beautiful bill passed, he's going to be on a roll. Also, he's got the perfect, the Democrats can't get out of their own way. They have nominated a communist, literally a communist. That's called by the New Yorker a communist. He won the Democratic primary in New York City, likely to become the next mayor. Stephen A. Smith put it in perspective, cut 31.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me be very, very clear. If the Democratic Party becomes the likes of Zoran Mamdani, who, by the way, I like, not trying to throw any shade on him or anything like that, but if the Democratic Party becomes him, you have no chance. You have no chance on a national basis in terms of the presidency. In Senate seats, seats in the House, you have no chance. You have no chance. I want to be very, very clear about that. You might have a democratic socialist sprinkled here and there, but that ain't what America is. America's about capitalism. America's about dollars and cents. America's about an economy, a flourishing economy. Okay? And you know what it's not about? Free stuff.
Thank you. But how could you start by saying, I like him? What is there to like? He doesn't like the country. He doesn't like Jews. He hates Israel. Doesn't like democracy or capitalism. What is there to like? Brian Kilmeade, Joe. So glad you're here.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey, Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MEGA25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender! America will get better! Keep hope alive! Keep hope alive!
News as it happened then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor. One mom in Texas says there's a lot of praying going on now in the state as parents wait for word on their daughters who were swept away in raging floodwaters. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
Bodies have been found, some in cars that were washed down upstream that came down into the area. Some are adults, some are children. Again, we don't know where those bodies came from, and was it from a camp, or was it from one of the many homes that are all along the Guadalupe River? We just obviously don't know that at this time.
Devastating flash floods have killed at least 51. Currently, officials say the death toll likely to grow in the hardest-hit area of Kerr County. Authorities say at the news conference Saturday that 15 of the victims were children. Governor Greg Abbott vowing that crews will work around the clock to rescue and recover victims. Still, authorities have not said how many people are missing beyond 27 children who were at a girls' Christian summer camp. The governor also issuing a proclamation declaring Sunday as a day of prayer across the state. President Trump touting the benefits of his big, beautiful bill at the White House. On Friday, among them was a big break for American car buyers.
You buy a car, you borrow money, you're allowed to deduct for income tax purposes your payment of interest, you're allowed to deduct it. It's never happened before, so run out and buy a car. But I have to tell you, It's only good, Mike, if it's made in America. If it's made in another country, you don't get it.
The legislation extends the president's 2017 multi-trillion-dollar tax cuts and some changes to Medicaid and food stamps by $1.2 trillion, also providing for a massive increase in both defense spending and immigration enforcement. Russia launching 550 drones and missiles in the largest aerial assault since the war began. The capital, Kyiv, was the primary target. News and analysis found at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
Living with everyday pain is like having a voice that always says, no, no, you can't do that. You can't go there. You can't play your favorite sport. You better sit this one out. It's no way to live. If pain is affecting you, see how Relief Factor can help you get back to living life again on your terms, one where you say yes a whole lot more. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors and scientists, Relief Factor's unique formula of natural ingredients doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it for good. Whether it's your back, neck, your joints, your muscles, Relief Factor can help you, as it has for so many others. Give Relief Factor's three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, a low-cost way for you to sort of take it out for a test drive. Less than a dollar a day. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. See how you could live with less pain, and you can say yes to more of everything you want with Relief Factor.
The families of two firefighters ambushed in Idaho received some much-needed help. Correspondent Tayshia Stevens has the story.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for two firefighters killed in an ambush last Sunday near Coeur d'Alene. Battalion Chiefs John Morris and Frank Harwood were fatally shot after responding to a wildfire that was started intentionally. A third firefighter was critically injured. Tunnel to Towers was started after the 9/11 terror attacks to help families of first responders who were killed in the line of duty. Tayshia Stevens reporting.
The Chinese government signaling enough is enough when it comes to the fierce competition in the country's electric car market. Beijing's industrial policy has engineered a transformation to electric vehicles. In so doing, it spawned far more makers than can possibly survive. Now, long simmering concerns about oversupply and debilitating price wars are coming to fore. Breaking news at townhall.com. Correspondent Donna Water reports on a new Legoland resort in Shanghai.
China's first Legoland has opened to visitors in Shanghai. The park opened Saturday. It was built with 85 million Lego bricks. This Legoland visitor says his first impression is that it's a good recreation. He says, like a real fairyland of Lego. Shanghai's Legoland is one of 11 Legoland parks across the world. I'm Donna Water.
Tropical storm Chantal forming off the southeastern coast, the National Hurricane Center in Miami says tropical storm warnings issued for portions of the Carolinas. Tropical storm conditions are expected in the affected areas later into today. The NHC says the storm center expected to move across the coast of South Carolina into this morning, Sunday morning. Some additional strengthening is forecast before Chantal makes landfall. You'll find more on these stories, plus breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron Taylor.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
From 48 to 60 in Midtown Manhattan, heard around the country, around the world, it's the Brian Kilmeade Show. Got a busy hour coming your way. The President of the United States hopes to get the big, beautiful bill passed. That's going to be big. We also have a situation with a lot of moving parts with Hamas. Has basically got a proposal for a ceasefire in their lap. They have very few, if I could use the president's term, cards to play. Sooner or later, the death cult is going to realize that, perhaps, and we can get the hostages back. Let's hope. Big three.
Number three.
We're going to be watching that very carefully, and a lot of people are saying he's here illegally. He's, you know, we're going to look at everything. But and ideally, he's going to turn out to be much less than a communist. But right now, he's a communist. That's not a socialist.
That is President of the United States talking about this, the winner of the Democratic nomination to be the next mayor of New York, Mr. Mamdani, is a communist. If you read what he says, if you see what he believes, basically it's from Karl Marx, from Brezhnev would have signed off on it. That's what we're looking at. And he's already warring with the President of the United States.
Number two.
I think it's anti-American. I think the fact that you're going to have individuals and populations in there that are stacked on top of each other, many of whom without due process.
There's nothing about this facility, about this detention camp, that is not cruel and inhumane.
Really? Okay. Operation Alcatraz. We are talking about the crackdown on illegal immigrants in our country over a long time coming. A success story being written by President Trump in real time, but not without controversy. We'll discuss it all, along with his change of heart when it comes to people here who have been here a while.
Number one.
It's the most conservative piece of legislation we've ever worked on. You need to mention at the same time that even though while we're having historic tax cuts, we also have historic savings. We're going to save $1.6 trillion for the American people.
And that is the Speaker of the House hopes to get his house to agree to a bill that they handed over to the Senate, which is 85% like the one he handed over. But the last 15% might cause at least a delay. I'm talking about the big, beautiful bill. We'll talk about that in detail. It does provide over $170 billion in additional funds for the Pentagon. Joining us now is General H.R. McMaster, former National Security Advisor for Donald Trump's first administration, Hoover Institute Senior Fellow, and author of At War With Ourselves, My Tour of Duty in the Trump White House. Now it might be different now. General, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. Great to be with you.
All right. First off, let me give you an idea. There's so many different things happening right now. There's just a report out that it looks like we're going to stop sending Patriot missiles over to Ukraine because we're running low, along with certain artillery. I find that an excuse not to arm the Ukrainians. What's going on here?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, Brian. You know, there are certain people, you know, who are in the president's ear, like trying to tell him that, hey, you know, this is Europe's thing, you know, and we don't really have a stake in this. But hey, Brian, you know what they're missing is the connection between Vladimir Putin and the other leaders of the Axis of Evils. You know why they need those Patriots and other capabilities? Because, you know, North Korea has given them 8 million artillery rounds to the Russians. They fought alongside them. The Iranians gave them these Shahed drones, which Moscow has now modified, and they're targeting, you know, apartment buildings and hospitals and schools in Ukraine. And guess who's underwriting the whole effort? China. And so a lot of the people are making this kind of prioritizing argument that, hey, this is Europe's thing. We have to focus on China. It's all interconnected, Brian. And, you know, and the Ukrainians are demonstrating tremendous valor and fighting in our interest against this Axis of aggressors.
You know, it looks to be the Undersecretary of Defense, Elbridge Colby, who you might be familiar with. He, like other people, totally against our involvement with the Ukraine war. I don't understand, think they see the big picture like you just mentioned. That's just a small portion of it. And now all of a sudden he realizes and Jennifer Griffith's reporting, we have frozen shipments of critical weapons to Ukraine, including Patriot interceptors in 155 millimeter shells. At a pivotal time because they say we are running low. Do we need Patriots at this moment? And is it possible that we could protect ourselves with the Patriots that you think we have?
Absolutely, Brian. And you know, there's been some really good work on this. If you go to the Foundation of Defense of Democracy, they go through every critical weapon system and show, you know, what's in stock and what needs to happen to ramp up production. It is true that our defense industrial base is atrophied, and that's one of President Trump's priorities. But we can do this, you know, and we have co-production with some countries. For example, in Japan, they produce some of these Patriot weapon systems. They've just approved that they can export to Taiwan some of these systems. So, hey, it's like an all hands on deck moment. You know, hey, we used to be the arsenal democracy. Remember that in World War II? You know, hey, let's be Americans, not Americans, Brian. You know, we can do this.
So the North Koreans are bringing, I think, up to 30,000 more troops over. I mean, they're basically all coming back in caskets. As you see, the North Korean leader seeing the caskets come back. Now they're getting experience fighting. Their word is they are improving. But the Russians are losing to 300 to 400 a day. Can you imagine this? If America was losing 300 guys a day?
Yeah, Brian, this is Putin's ruse, right? He's trying to look strong. He's throwing it all in right now because he thinks we don't have the will to support Ukraine. And he thinks that's going to affect Ukraine psychologically. And now is his moment. So, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, they're taking 30,000, 40,000 casualties a month. And by the way, Putin is really in a hurt, in terms of his economic situation, right? He's sitting on top of piles of cash he can't convert. You know, he's spending about 49% of his budget, on defense is not sustainable. Hey, oil prices are going down. So he's not pulling enough as much out of the ATM as he's been able to pull. And, you know, I think now's the time to be in a position of strength. And by the way, Putin has, you know, really disrespected President Trump the whole time, you know, and thinks he can play him. I don't think he can play Donald Trump. You saw what happened, you know, with the Iranians. He gave him 60 days, right? And they went to 61 and he acted. Remember what with Kim Jong-un? Kim Jong-un thought he could get everything he wanted from Donald Trump in the Hanoi summit in Trump's first administration. And Donald Trump walked out. So I think President Trump is going to come to the conclusion it's time to put more pressure on Putin. And that includes sustaining support for the Ukrainians.
Lindsey Graham thinks the president's close to allowing that Senate bill, which is, I think, got over 80 votes, to go in to put additional sanctions on Putin. And he could use that as a lever, use that as leverage and say, guys, I'm just going to sign this. This is the Senate. They're going to put additional sanctions on him. Some just roll their eyes when I say sanctions. Are you one of them?
No, I'm not, because, you know, in fact, we did a study here at the Hoover Institution that I recommend on sanctions, what effect of sanctions. I'll send you the link to that, Brian. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's really how they're implemented and how. Yeah. What President Trump showed is, hey, on Iran, it's not military force or diplomacy or military force or sanctions. It's how you integrate all those elements of national power. That's what needs to happen in all elements of foreign policy. Sanctions are a part of the answer. They're not the answer.
All right, let's talk about Iran. I haven't talked to you about the operation. You must have known this operation existed and the capabilities that our B-2 bombers had and the bunker busters were revealed to have. Your thoughts about the operation when you left it and how it was executed when you saw it?
Hey, it was executed brilliantly. You know, I mean, this I'd love to see, obviously, the professionalism, the courage of our armed forces. And also, you know, you've got to also give credit to the Israelis for what they did to dismantle the air defense system and then to go after the nuclear supply chain, to also go after the missile capabilities and to go after some of the leadership, you know, the critical leadership within the IRGC, as well as the scientists and so forth. But, you know, I'll tell you, I think that was an important message to our adversaries. I mean, who else could fly a 37-hour round trip and put 30,000-pound bombs down ventilation shafts, you know, and to do that as part of an overall strike package that included, you know, submarine-launched cruise missiles. So it was a fantastic display of American military prowess, and it was a righteous mission, Brian. I mean, you got to look at the nature of the Iranian regime, right? What they say. They call us the great Satan. They've killed, you know, thousands of Americans over the years through their proxies. They want to destroy Israel and wipe them off the map. Hey, I mean, you can't let Ayatollah Khamenei get the most destructive weapons on Earth.
What do we find out about their defensive ability, their offensive ability, and their vulnerability?
Well, you know, they've always been weak, Brian, you know, but they act strong because we never act like we know what the return address is. And, you know, I wrote this essay recently about the folly of de-escalation, and Donald Trump ended it. You know, what you always heard from multiple U.S. administrations, all of them maybe except Donald Trump's, his first one and his second one, that every time Iran attacks us, we're like, oh, we have to de-escalate. Well, you know what that did, Brian? It gave It gave Iran the ability to escalate on their own terms with impunity. Donald Trump broke that trend, you know, when he killed Qasem Soleimani in January of 2020. And again, with this strike, he showed that he's willing to act directly against the regime.
I want you to hear what the Iranian ambassador to the UN said on Sunday. Cut 42.
Our peaceful nuclear activity will remain always in peaceful manner. So the enrichment is our right, an inalienable right, and we want to implement this right.
So you do plan to restart enrichment, that sounds like.
I think that enrichment will not never stop.
So if they start, and they're at 4-0 now, trying to see how bad the damage is, and I imagine it being significant, do you think that the Israelis are just going to bomb it away as they start to make some progress?
Yes. Yes, I do. And so this is why, you know, Iran's got to make a decision, you know. I mean, do you take the risk of restarting the program? You know, it's material intensive. And when you know that Israel and probably the United States will strike it again. And, of course, Brian, you know, they could strike it, you know, with their air force as they have. But they could also go after them with clandestine capabilities. You saw an astonishing range of capabilities that included intelligence and direct action covert operations, as well as these airstrikes.
So right now we might go, I guess, talking to them again. We'll see what happens. But now there's pressure, and I think it's I think they're on the same page. There's a push now to de-escalate in Gaza. And they said the ceasefire is on the table. Essentially, they've wiped out all the leadership, including one of the founders of Hamas. But Hamas is still in Gaza. We've got to get the hostages out. Hamas has got this deal, the details of which I guess the U.S. side and the Israelis have. What do you think is going to happen there? What would you like to see happen there?
Well, what I'd like to see is Hamas give up all the hostages now, right? The ones who are living and the ones who they killed.
In exchange for prisoners?
I don't know what the outline of the deal would be. That would be up, I think, to the Israelis to decide, you know, but you got to get the people out of there. You know, right now the IDF is controlling, has kind of loose control over about 75% of Gaza. It's the remaining 25%, probably where those hostages are, and probably where there are a significant number still of Hamas terrorists. But you know what, Brian, when you look at this long term too, near-term objective, get the hostages back. Long-term is you've got to destroy Hamas. I hear people say, oh, well, you can't kill an idea. Hey, as long as Hamas has the guns in Gaza, nothing good can happen for the Palestinian people in Gaza. So what you need, first of all, to have a relief valve so some of the Palestinians can get the hell out of there into a humanitarian facility, maybe in the Sinai temporarily. The next thing you need to do is destroy Hamas and get a peace enforcement force in there that can prevent them from coming back. Because until you do that, you know, nobody's going to be the mayor of Gaza, Brian. You're going to get a bullet in the head. And you can't have Hamas in charge because, you know what, they're dedicated to the destruction of Israel. It is so hypocritical when I hear people say, well, we have to get back on a path to a two-state solution and we need to stop fighting against Hamas. Hey, Hamas has to go as a precondition for getting on the path to any kind of an enduring peace between the Israelis and the Israel and the Palestinians.
General, it must be surreal to you to see these signs in Syria that say, thank you, President Trump. And you have a leader, the president shook his hand and talked to him. I know you know he's a terrorist. He was a terrorist. He said he changed his ways. How do you feel about President Trump's bold move and somewhat of a risk to say, welcome aboard, we're lifting the sanctions?
Yeah, it's a risk, Brian, you know, but you know, the alternative would be to not have any influence or not have much influence maybe after what happens next in Syria. You know, Syria shattered during the civil war like a light bulb. And so that society's got to be kind of put back together. And it can only be put that back together if they end the sectarian civil war within that country. You know, us having leverage over, al-Shar, you know, I mean, the leverage we have along with the especially the Saudis and the Emiratis, and to agree the gutteries because we have to kind of pull them into this, is just to not write checks. Don't write checks to them to rebuild. And so what that should be is, hey, al-Shara, you need a pluralistic government, right? You need to ensure that these minority populations, like we just saw the Christians mass murdered, like we saw Druze mass murdered, are protected, and that you get to some kind of a political process that's going to give all Syrians a say in how they're governed over the next couple of years. But what we don't want to see is another theocratic dictatorship in there or a caliphate, right? That's going to consolidate gains and then try to export, you know, a kind of this, you know, this radical Islamist ideology.
You could argue, General, that the president, that Russia taking their eye off the ball in Syria, taking assets out of there, allowed for these rebels to go back and take back the country. So Assad had to run for his life. So as they've had to focus on the Ukraine, there goes the ripple effect, and Iran loses a passageway for arms, and they lose an ally. Real quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is really an important dimension of it. And Russia now is trying to double down on its so-called Africa Corps in North Africa and also move into Eastern Libya. I think we ought to help people contest that. The other thing is, too, it's important to remember, you know, Assad collapsed because Israel kicked the hell out of Hezbollah. And Assad was, you know, really even more reliant on Hezbollah and an Iranian proxy army than he was on the Russians.
General, we have to do a whole tutorial and do 4 hours on this. There's so many moving parts, and it's always great to talk to you about it. So, General H.R. McMaster, thank you.
Hey, Brian, great to be with you.
You got it. Back in a moment. Brad Thor at the bottom of the hour. Don't move.
It's the best of the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MEGA25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A missing child rescued from a busy freeway in California makes today's Dean's List. The dramatic rescue took place when an 11-year-old nonverbal child with autism ran out of the supermarket in the afternoon. His family called 911 as soon as they realized he was gone, and the search began. Deputies and a sheriff's helicopter went in the air while the public was alerted through various broadcasting channels. An off-duty officer was driving home when she saw the child matching the description of the missing boy on the freeway. She pulled over and called his name to stay put. Thankfully, emergency crews arrived. Deputies Cody Green and Michael Moser leapt over the guardrail and ran after the boy. They were able to get to him and take him off the freeway without injury. The San Diego County Sheriff's Department put out a thank you to the deputies along with the Good Samaritans that worked together to find the missing boy and bring him home to his family. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is Health Call for Health. Enjoy that afternoon snooze to refresh. You might want to think again. A new study shows daytime power naps could contribute to an increased risk of death. Researchers at Boston's Massachusetts General Hospital say some groups of people with irregular daytime sleep patterns have a greater risk of early death. Scientists monitored the sleep habits of more than 86,000 people with an average age of around 63. Then they compared those habits to death records and found that about 5,200 people died during an 11-year follow-up. Experts say the findings suggest premature death could be from taking longer daytime naps, fluctuating sleep patterns, or taking naps between the hours of 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine recommends power naps of no more than 20 to 30 minutes in the afternoon. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On January 19, 1989, President Ronald Reagan bid farewell to Americans in his last address as president.
I've spoken of the shining city all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds living in harmony and peace. A city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here. That's how I saw it. And see it still.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
More you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
So it's the trial everybody's been watching for the last 30-plus 40 days. Yesterday we heard that the jury on the P. Diddy trial had reached a verdict on all but one count. And now they've reached a verdict on all the counts. And he got off really well. I mean, three not guilty and two guilty. So the count two, sex trafficking, not guilty. Count three, Mann Act transportation, guilty. Count four, sex trafficking, not guilty. Count five, Mann Act transportation, guilty. So he's not looking at life in prison, and I don't know how much prison time he's actually going to get. But the Southern District of New York, they say, doesn't lose much. But here, this is not looked as a victory for them at all. You know, he was up for kid. They charged him with kidnapping, arson, bribery, witness tampering, forced labor, sex trafficking, transportation for purpose of prostitution, drug distribution, and he gets away with two guilty charges and three not guilty. So we're going to see. I mean, he was looking for life in prison, and he's not looking at that now. So I'm not sure if they're going to bring that. I don't think you can do double jeopardy and bring this back again. But right now, it looks like Sean Combs acquitted on the most serious charges. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Brad Thor is next.
It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Aksum, Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper, Connecticut broadleaf binder, Nicaraguan filler, and ultimately a masterpiece cigar from the A.J. Fernandez factory. Complexity defines this stick. Notes of black pepper, cocoa, hickory, and nutmeg. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
Trail mix or other items. And instead of buying individually wrapped items like crackers or cookies, buy the whole box counterpart. Separate the items and package them yourself. And try to avoid buying non-food items at the grocery store like paper plates or plastic bags, which are often cheaper per unit at warehouse stores. And if you can, buy generic brands over brand name products, especially when it comes to spices, frozen foods, and cereals. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Interested in it?
Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, we are back with legendary author Brad Thor, number one New York Times bestselling author, continuing with his series. He's got a brand new book out called Edge of Honor, came out this week. He served as a member of the Department of Homeland Security's Analytic Red Cell Unit and has also lectured in law enforcement organizations over the horizon, future, and threats that are coming. Keynote speaker everywhere. And knows his stuff. You write fiction, but you base it on all real stuff, right, Brad?
Exactly. I call what I do faction, where you don't know where the facts end and the fiction begins.
Right. So first off, the operation in Iran.
Listen, I am so glad we did that. Iran was, I can't use literally, they were asking for it. There is absolutely no reason
for 46 years.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the largest state sponsor of terrorism, they had their uranium enriched to 60%, which they absolutely did not need. It's a hair's breadth away from being a bomb. And, you know, I'm the son of a United States Marine. And if I think of Marines alone who have been maimed and killed by technology bombs that the Iranians were behind, it would have been derelict for President Trump to not have gone and done that, particularly with how degraded the air defense systems were for the Iranians. That was one of the safest times ever to put our pilots in that airspace, and I'm glad we did it.
So if you those are the, I guess EFPs are
EFPs.
So those are the ones that are so detrimental and so devastating, you get hit by them, it's hard for you to survive it.
Yep.
But when you look at what they've been up to in the area, Hamas, obviously, Hezbollah, yes, mm-hmm. all the militias, Houthis. And,
yep.
and the militias in Iraq. How different would have our experience have been in Iraq had Iran not decided to fund all the insurgency and actually take part directly in it?
Yeah, I agree. It would have been a much different experience. And we can go back. Brian, you and I have talked over the years. You know, one of the failings I feel in Afghanistan was that we allowed their constitution to be based on Sharia. There's just a lot of mistakes we've made over the years by just thinking people were going to go in and welcome us as liberators and all this stuff. And I'll tell you, I don't quote Ann Coulter too often. She had a great line about Afghanistan, though. She said, "You cannot give democracy to people that have more goats than they do flush toilets."
Right.
It's just there is not a spirit of democracy, freedom, a tradition there, and a wanting to have that stuff. So, but the Iranians have been incredibly bad actors throughout that region. I am glad that President Trump did this, and it was the right move.
As a patriotic guy, you must be heartened by the fact that we're the recruiting's going up on every branch.
We're meeting our levels. Yeah, it's fantastic. There is a pride, a reignition of patriotism, of pride, and to see young people, I mean, it's an all volunteer military that we have. So to see young people standing up, raising their hands and saying, "I will go, I will write that check that says up to and including my life," it's fantastic.
We're up to year 250, and I think this administration is going to go all in on celebrating, including 249 is when the war really started.
Yep.
In 1775. And I think what's going to be really important on the 4th of July, that people start feeling patriotic again, not political, but patriotic. Overall, the Americans were asked, "How you feel about your country?" 56% strongly approve. Mm-hmm. That was in 2015. That was at 85%.
Yeah.
For Republicans, is this 83%. What does it take for the whole country to change their opinion?
Well, obviously,
or to understand what they have here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cultural division right now, and you get a lot of traction, you get a lot of clicks if you push on those fissures that exist in between us. I think if President Trump does the anniversary of our independence the way he did the military parade in his speaking engagement, everybody was ready to jump all over him because of the things he said at Fort Bragg. And they thought on his birthday with the parade celebrating the anniversary of the Army that we were going to get more of the Fort Bragg stuff that was going to be kind of divisive and everything. And he didn't do that. He gave a great speech.
15 minutes in and out.
In and out. Great speech. It was pitch perfect. If he can stick to that and focus on an American celebration, not a Republican, not a Democrat, not a Trump celebration, an American celebration, it will be one of the great things that's remembered about his presidency. I guarantee it.
I think I'm older than you, but I remember I was in grade school in 1776.
I was too.
Everything was bicentennial. Everything, whether
I did a bike parade, Brian.
Yeah, it was,
I remember,
nonstop.
Decorated my bike.
Yeah.
It was fabulous.
Right. And you would think of that at a time, if you look back just at numbers, I mean, you have interest rates to double.
Wasn't Carter the president then?
Carter the president,
yeah.
Interest rates were double digits. You had gas lines. You had this Middle Eastern oil crisis. And,
but boy, we were proud.
Yeah. But there was no, I mean, you could look at that and go, "Why, America's not doing well." Well, back then, didn't matter. You're still in America.
Yeah.
We just got to get back to that. And I think it's got to go to the education, books like yours.
Well, we have our old friend Andrew Breitbart, God rest his soul, who said politics is downstream of culture. And he's really right about that. As the son of a U.S. Marine, I am very proud to be an American. And I try to – my books are about entertainment. You're supposed to take my thrillers to the beach. But this book in particular was meant to come out before 4th of July. It's a thriller that happens in D.C. in the lead up to the 4th of July. I've got an American flag wrapping the book, the jacket art. And I hope that my patriotism, my love of country is infectious because I think it's important. I agree with you. We all need to get back to that.
So tell me about the Edge of Honor.
So Edge of Honor, got Scott Harvath, my recurring character. I tell people that my books are like the Bond movies. If you've never seen a Bond movie before, you can go see the newest one. You get caught up quick. Same thing with my books. But he's back. He's off his honeymoon.
Jack is back.
Scott Harvath.
Scott Harvath
back. He's off his honeymoon, and he's got a buddy of his from a previous administration who believes the Iranians are looking to kill him. And the buddy can't convince anybody that the work he did in the previous administration has put him on a hit list. And so Harvath agrees to protect him until they can figure out what's going on. And when Harvath gets to the bottom of it, he finds a shadowy cabal of elites in D.C. that want to overthrow the current administration and install their own guy and drive America in a direction that nobody wants.
So you took it from 2017. That's what it sounds like.
The first review I got said this book goes right down the middle. It is not political. But, you know, I do try to use real things from real life to make
the
fiction fun.
But you can see how it could happen.
Sure, absolutely.
Right. So,
absolutely.
So you try to do that in a way that's apolitical.
Apolitical. And the
so
book
where do you
short
get
chapters,
your knowledge? Where did you research? Who did you work with?
So I've got friends from the first Trump administration. I've got a lot of friends in the intelligence community, law enforcement, the military. I've developed these relationships over more than 2 decades writing these thrillers. So I'm lucky. I get to go to the people that do some of this nation's most dangerous business. I buy a lot of pitchers of beer, a lot of steak dinners, and they're willing to talk to me.
So for example, if you're looking to guard a guy with a private security, mm-hmm. you'll go talk to private security. How would you, this guy wants to eat at a restaurant. Where do you sit?
Yeah.
Where do you
all
go?
That stuff.
Right? Where's the vulnerability here?
And how did somebody get a hold of Kristi Noem's purse? Could I have put something in Kristi Noem's purse? You know, when that happened to her in D.C. So I'll ask my Secret Service contacts, whatever. Because these guys actually read my books and enjoy them. And they're like, you get that right. Because if you get it wrong, you're going to hear from people.
But you know, George W. Bush, as you know, you probably were part of it. After 9/11, he said, how do I anticipate the next attack?
Yeah.
He went to Hollywood. And he said, what would you do? You know,
that
how
was
would
the program that I was in. So they came to people like me, Michael Bay, the director of the Benghazi movie and the Transformer movies, and they brought us to D.C. and they said, guys, what would you do at home? What would you do overseas to Americans and American interests abroad? So this was this really cool kind of creative think tank where the government had realized 9/11 was a failure of imagination. They weren't thinking creatively enough. So they brought a bunch of us in and we gave them our ideas. And, you know, again, as the son of someone who served, it was really cool to be asked to help my country without picking up a rifle to
do
it.
That's so interesting. So when you do this, you always like to leave it for the next chapter, unless you retire. How do you leave us on the edge?
I'm a big believer in, I think Studs Terkel said that the first chapter sells the book, the last chapter sells the next book. So you got to learn how to master those cliffhangers, but also pay things off. You don't want to end a book on a cliffhanger and tick off your audience. So I want to give people that white knuckle thrill ride, quick, short chapters, so they're easy to read in a book you can't put down.
What's going to be interesting now is 9/11 was a, you might say, a lack of imagination, but it was, hey, I'm going to learn to fly. I'm going to take over a plane.
Yeah.
Planes exist. Flight school exists. But when you look at the next generation of threats, it could come from space. It could come from AI.
Yep.
Have you thought about incorporating something that is evolving in real time into a threat that could turn up in your book because you pride yourself on such realism?
I do. It's. The key is finding a way to do it so it's grounded and it doesn't feel too much like science fiction, right? So I don't want like the Terminator where Skynet has become self-aware, that kind of a thing, and you're battling like a big AI thing. That's not my jam because I do so much kind of old school tradecraft in my people. And, you know, there's certain tactics in the military. There's certain things that the people at the CIA do. And I try to base that on that kind of boots on the ground, touching things with your own hands sort of a thing. But the technology is an issue. You know, we used to be able to get men and women in and out of other countries with false passports. Now, with all the facial recognition, you have to figure out how you subvert that. So the tech for what I do is constantly evolving, and it's something I've got to sit on top of and make cool. That's the thing for me. I want it to be cool if I'm going to put it in.
It's called Edge of Honor, a thriller. It's for the Scott Horvath series continues, and it's out this week. Brad Thor is our guest. Brad, when you talk about our intelligence agencies, they've been under I guess, a lot of scrutiny lately. Do you believe that we're still the best?
Absolutely. There's no question. Nobody does it better than we do it. In any large organization, whether that's the U.S. government, the post office, Simon & Schuster, where I'm published, you're going to have issues. It is tough to run a large organization. You're going to get some bad apples in there and all that kind of stuff. But I would put the lives of my family and all the people I care about in the hands of our intelligence community, our military, our law enforcement people, any day of the week and twice on Sunday. We have the best people in the world.
So you mentioned, we were talking before about the Signal app and the controversy with the Signal app. But why would they use the Signal app, Brad?
Because it's easy.
And the Chinese have infiltrated almost every all of our governmental computers during the last administration. They said that there was no way to communicate quickly without using the. They briefed them saying use the Signal app.
So Signal app was approved for low level stuff. It's like, hey Brian, what wing are you at? At the Pentagon right now, can I meet you for a coffee in 20 minutes? It was low-level stuff. It wasn't supposed to be high-level stuff. But the problem is, how do you separate that when somebody gets used to doing that? And the stuff that they have access to, somebody like Pete, you've always got a guy within arm's reach that can give you the encrypted stuff. But it is clunky. It is a lot to deal with. It'd be great if we could have super high-level, uncrackable encryption for all of our people in the national security community to use, so it's easy like Signal. That'd be great.
Makes me think our cyber defense is not nearly as strong as it needs to be.
We're not as innovative. We need to have a version of Signal. We've spent billions creating an encrypted network that people like Hegseth and the National Security Advisor, the President, can all use, but it's clunky. It is out of date compared to what civilians use, but it's more secure than what civilians use. So we need to figure out a way to make the technology that we have, the encryption, which is fantastic, it has to be as easy to use as Signal. That's the trade-off.
Are you heartened by the Silicon Valley seems to be on board with the Defense Department, that you have
Until the wind shifts and then they change their mind again. That's the problem. These guys are – this isn't necessarily the most pro-America group. They're pro-Silicon Valley. So we got their attention now in D.C. and they're willing to participate
Palantir
and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's very interesting that the AI people seem to be a little bit more patriotic than the social media people, the Zuckerbergs.
I'm convinced they're all out for themselves and what's good for them, which to a certain degree is capitalism, and I'm pro-capitalism. But I don't want to mistake their pro-capitalism position for a pro-America, pro-patriotic position. I'm not saying they're not pro-American. There's a lot of good patriots in Silicon Valley. But first and foremost, they're about what's good for Silicon Valley. So we need to harness that expertise in that ability, and we need to encourage it. Those are the kinds of people that I want to see the United States government encouraging in innovation. It's when we talk about the immigration system, there's so many smart kids here that I want to give them green cards the minute they graduate MIT. I don't want them going back to India and Italy or wherever they may be from. I want us to have the best and brightest minds here.
Well, the thing, there's no doubt about it. I think President Trump mentioned that. And he said, why are we sending these guys back? We train them and go. But then there's pushback from people like by Bannon and others go, no, they're all going back.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's totally wrong.
That's ridiculous. If we can get great software developers, great physicians, great IP people, I want them here. And this is what America's about. We should want the absolute best in the world because it makes us all stronger and more successful.
Because they came here legally.
Yes.
And also the president's also talking about saying the meat packers, the agricultural workers, the hospitality workers. You've been here for years. You get a sponsor. Maybe there's no citizenship, can't reward bad behavior.
And they're paying into the system. They're not going to take out.
What about regularity with taxes? And then you have to pay them a wage.
Absolutely. And we're getting older in this country. We're not having enough young people. Who's going to man all the senior citizen homes? We need immigration. We need it done the right way. And I'm going to quote our friend Dennis Miller. Dennis Miller said, I love immigration as long as you come through the front door and you sign the guest book.
Right.
That's a great line.
So, Brad, congratulations on the book. Go pick it up. Edge of Honor, certain to be a bestseller. It's on the fiction list, but it's full of, you call it faction.
Faction.
But it's still going to be listed under fiction.
You got it.
Got it. Brad Thor, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian.
This is the best of Brian Kilmeade.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I wanted to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MEGA25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Are you having trouble hearing? Hearing loss can devastate the quality of your life. Now, there's an affordable fix for you or your loved one. Rated the best hearing aids of 2025 by Forbes Health, Audion Hearing has the highest quality hearing aids at the lowest prices, starting at just $98 a pair.
I actually like them better than my old $5,000 hearing aids.
I could not believe how my hearing and life changed.
Join over 1 million happy customers by going to audionhearing.com. That's AudienHearing.com.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
That makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Senator Paul said that this was, that your vote was a bailout for Alaska at the expense of the rest of the country.
Oh my God.
That's what Senator Paul said.
I assume it was easy.
I didn't say it, ma'am. I'm just asking for your response.
My response is I have an obligation to the people of the state of Alaska. When people suggest that federal dollars go to one of our 50 states in a, quote, bailout, I find that offensive. Do I like this bill? No. Because I try to take care of Alaska's interests. But I know that in many parts of the country, there are Americans that are not going to be advantaged by this bill. I don't like that.
Okay, and number one, Senator Murkowski, just stared at this reporter for like 45 seconds. It was bizarre. And then she said, I went for the bill because she's got a situation where it's very rural, agricultural, spread out settings. So she had to be, get a deal that would, I guess, bridge some gaps when it comes to insurance. So agricultural has this big fund for agricultural hospitals. But for the most part, Medicaid has changed in what way? You have to be eligible for it. They're trying to get rid of people that are not eligible for it, that Barack Obama threw on this plan, that we're not supposed to be on this plan, that the federal government committed to reimbursing states 90%, so therefore they were being totally irresponsible by people that they put on their rolls. They got Medicaid almost bigger than Medicare. So they slowed the growth of Medicaid from something like 40% to 5%. Only in America can you slow the growth of something and say you're cutting it. Number two, they're going to be checking eligibility twice a year. And if you're not eligible, you're going to get kicked off. They're going to be very vigilant. And number three, illegal aliens will not be getting insurance. That's going to save money. That's fundamentally what happened with Medicaid. But still, they're funding all this stuff. At the same time, we got to build up our defense. We got to build up the border. We got to be able to give no cash, no tax on tips, no tax on car loans, no tax on overtime. That'll help. A big tax break for seniors. Those are the things that'll help. Why she chose to sit there and say, oh, it's a terrible bill. Well, there's a lot of, in the president's conservative agenda that cuts down the size of government, but not nearly enough for guys like Chip Roy or the Freedom Caucus. And I tend to side with them, but you got to be practical. This is what I want, but this is what's possible. So when Chip Roy and these guys and Ron Johnson and Rick Scott look at this and say, this is what I want, what could I get? What's the best possible, the most I can get? Well, cannot kill in the bill. And that's what these other guys do. And what Murkowski tried to do. Why she tries to walk it back and make things more difficult for the House to pass, I'm not really sure. But the things that Murkowski got, that upsets the conservatives in the House, including the ones in the Senate. How you win? Go to BrianKilmeade.com. I can't wait to see you in person August 23rd in Dallas, Texas, and September 27th in Richmond, Virginia.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MEGA25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MEGA25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Join Aaron and Bill for We the People Radio, Sundays, noon until 2.
It's conservative talk radio with a liberal dose of humor. Get the whole story from experts around the world delivering facts rather than opinion.
Missed a show? Busy at noon? No problem. Listen to our free archives when you have time. No commercial interruptions or download restrictions. We the People Radio.
.us.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.